Okay, all right, we're back on. Sorry about that.
Well, so this is properly us now, then.
This is properly us now.
Right, so
Yeah.
despite the fact it's the three of us and I'm wearing an Expanse t-shirt, this is not Space Virgins. We are the thoroughly sexed up crew
No,
from
although
Freebooters.
I am caught up with Spaceballs. I don't want to talk too
Oh,
much
no,
about
I've
it.
not watched it.
I watched it fairly recently, so even if we were, I would have been able to
I
skim
think
through and get it.
my opinion of it on second watch has gone up a little bit, but I don't know if that's enough
Oh,
to bring it into a
Chris,
two.
split up. Enough to bring it to
I
Oh wow! I thought, it took me a few seconds to register what you just said.
Yeah.
I mean, not yeah, because we're not with Ozone at the moment,
Yeah, so let's not talk about it. Let's leave it open.
Ozone, if you're watching this, stop watching.
Well, I mean, we're done with it now. It's already too late. Damage has been
Okay,
done.
Ozone, you can come back.
Yeah. Also, for the love of
Just
God, stay away from the mic a bit.
Oh yeah, sorry. My summer shirt's coming along nicely.
Oh.
Yeah, see
The hole's getting bigger.
you've got the
I'm
off the
assuming
shoulder.
that, and the neck's getting bigger because I'm just soaking it with water. So it's just like, yeah. Also, I do have a tendency to do this.
Actually, I'm wearing a high-tech shirt too.
You're wearing like a cool modern person shirt.
I am, yeah. Like what
Like
they
a
might wear on.
cool, like
Well.
what a moderately muscular man might wear to the bar.
This is a high-tech shirt from Mountain Warehouse, and it
I didn't know we
actually.
were doing fashion today.
Oh, we. Yeah. Well, I mean, you started it.
Why do I never get cut into these sponsorships? I have to wear
Yeah.
this fucking shirt. Get me some of this fucking.
It's Chris. He does all these site deals.
Yeah, with Mountain Warehouse, which is always seeming to have a closing down sale wherever I go, but okay.
I love the idea of like one member of a podcast secretly getting sponsorship, pretending it's just like, oh, I've just bought this thing.
Just bought this.
Yeah,
It's
just weaving it into the conversation.
yeah.
Not weaving.
Well, actually, this is a completely synthetic cooling shirt.
Does it? Because the cool. What do it? Is it real?
It's probably the most comfortable shirt in the heat that I've got.
I'm
However,
presuming it's just very breathable, right?
very
So,
breathable, moisture wicking, all that
yeah.
kind of thing.
I mean, that's the only way it can.
Yeah, I've got some shirts that claim that, and it just
This is okay. However, a long time ago, I tried on
just
someone
some.
else's cycle jersey, and it clings to you like it was a skin tight sort of
Yeah,
thing.
that's what the shirts are like, and that's why I don't like them, because
But
they're clingy.
I don't like clingy either. But this one literally made me colder when I put it on. And I'm
Okay, that's
trying to
cool.
find a shirt that does
Is it
that.
colder than if you had no shirt on?
Yes, it is colder than if you had no
It is.
shirt on. Yes.
That's it. I want to know how that
I
works.
want to know how that works.
I guess if it wicks the sweat, if it makes the sweat evaporation more efficient,
But it wasn't. It
Somehow,
was
yeah, that would be
literally,
it,
I
yeah.
put it on, bang, it was colder.
That's cool.
I don't understand. Please, inquiring minds want to know.
If it
How
wasn't so
does
hot, I would think about the physics, but it's too hot.
it is
Oh, if we're inquiring minds, there's something I want to know because I've been googling this, and it's one of those things where you google it and you get half of people are adamantly saying one thing and half of people are adamantly saying the polar opposite. So I mentioned this in chat, but last heat wave I fancied a corned beef sandwich, so I went and opened. See, I've got this habit of like I need to stop. So I opened my can of corned beef sandwich, and it was a liquid, and it felt hot, like the can felt not just warm but hot, and the corned beef was like a liquid. I could pour it onto the bread. I mean, just because it was so hot, it was melted essentially, like the fat had all melted, and
Yeah, it's very well. It's a very fatty. It's a very
it just
fine
fits
thing before it
the
solidifies.
fat. So I poured it onto the bread and. Smeared it out, and I was like, fuck it, I'll eat. And then I was like, is that safe? So I googled it, and yeah, so I want to know, I don't want guesses, I don't want people speculating, I want somebody who is an expert in this, if such a person watches, to tell me, like, because the arguments I was seeing online, half of people were saying, in the factory, this stuff is treated, it's completely airtight sealed, and it's
Yeah,
treated
as
to,
long
like,
I was going to say, as long as the seal was on it and it was in date, I would think
Well, it's treated to
so.
hundreds of degrees. Also, this
Yeah, but
corned
you
beef
get the
came
can, it's
from
cooked.
It came from Brazil, so I'm sure, like, on its journey here, it's probably been in, like, the back of a van and a container. It's probably gone well over, like, 30-odd degrees. So, yeah, I'm sure it's perfectly fine. And then other people saying, equally plausibly, that's true, but there are the trace amounts of bacteria that are heat-resistant that when they're warmed sufficiently, they will start to breed rapidly. And there are, you know, some bacteria like botulism that you can't smell it. It doesn't produce a gas. It's not going to make the can, you know, expand. It's completely undetectable to the senses, and it can kill you.
So like, well, have you died yet? Have you died yet?
Well, I didn't eat it. Like, I googled it.
Oh, you didn't.
Like,
you decided
not to eat it. That sounds.
We were hoping for an experiment.
Yeah. This is the surprise. This is the twist ending.
I'm so afraid of food poisoning.
It is one of the worst illnesses I've ever had is food poisoning.
I've never had. I saw my mum have it, and it was. I was just like, I never want that ever.
Yeah, I got it from, and I'm not afraid to say this on a public video. Papa John's Pizza. Filthy bastards!
Did you sue them?
Because if you try to do, they try to get you right. What have you eaten for the last 3 days? Let me. We need to know everything you. You know, it's like so. You know, but you know your own body. You know your own body. You know.
So, yeah.
But they'll say, "Oh, well, it wasn't us."
Yeah.
You know it's them, but they. You know. I know. Suffice to say, it's one of the least popular takeaways in the town. Still.
Yeah, and also
a lot of trouble keeping staff and.
Also, Papa John, notoriously racist.
Yeah, you shit pizza place.
Can't stop being racist.
Yeah.
One of the times he got caught being racist, right, using the N-word, was on a human resources how not to be racist course.
Like, did he use it in quotation marks? Was it words you can't say?
I mean,
it's still not great, but like you'll get a pass for that, I feel.
Well, I don't know. I'm not the jury on that one.
Using that as an excuse to just say the words, because I could see people doing just like,
oh yeah,
I want to get these words out of my system. Let's call a meeting.
I used to work in a place where I discovered that, like, not the whole place, but certainly the section I was in was full of fucking racists, and their excuse for using the N word was, well, black people can say, you know, can call each other, so I can say, you know, that kind of thing. It's like. Oh,
I'll tell you what, I got one that really made me cringe the other day, right? So when I go and have lunch in Gloucester, there's like a local known...
Dr. Foster's
group, now? No, I haven't bumped into him yet. There are a well-known group of meth heads, and one of them has, for some reason, acquired the nickname that all the other meth heads call them, which is just the N-word. This is a white gentleman, a very obviously white gentleman, but everyone just calls him the N-word like it's so a nickname. Never really
maybe he was a dog.
Word, but
was he Barnes
like
Wallace's
closest,
dog?
That feels the closest to okay.
It didn't sound okay.
Oh, is it you? Okay.
it was, I don't like, I have questions that I'm not sure I want to know the answer to, if I'm honest.
I feel like I could be a good undercover cop, like infiltrating a group of meth heads.
Well, you've got the looks.
You're too well spoken, and you probably have too many teeth. Am I being.
No, I do not have teeth.
How many have you got left? Because you're not a big fan of home dentistry, are you?
No, I just let it happen. I've lost a handful or some. They're just crumbling over time.
Okay. Have you ever thought, like, see, the thing is, if you could get them all out, then you could get just a false set that just slip in, right?
I saw an advert on YouTube for dentures when my Cute Browser ad blocking wasn't working. And you just mail order dentures. Like, you heat them up in a pan, like a what do you call it, a gum shield.
And then
just form it. Like, the teeth are hard, obviously. You don't form the teeth, but the bit that fits to your... Yeah. I was like, maybe. It looked more presentable on podcasts.
Yeah, you'd look ridiculous. The podcast,
I could put my teeth in.
Your aesthetic is very much I'm hiding from the CIA.
I'm planning something.
Yeah, you're in an old Soviet bunker. You think the Cold War's still going on?
I'm just not heard.
You've got a few drawings from your niece when she was young, and you've got your flag, so you're still a patriot. But
it does look bunkery, doesn't it? If I had money, I'd lean into that, make it.
Oh my god, you've got mold. Is that mold?
No, it's that looks far worse. I'm not just saying this because I don't care. It looks far worse on camera than it is in real life. I don't know whether it's damp or nicotine stain.
Yeah, inquiring minds want to know that too. I mean, you're in an old house, so it's probably it could be damp.
Yeah, I mean, there's ivy growing on that wall.
Is what?
On the,
oh, the outside side. Okay, yeah, yeah.
No, not outside. Although the window, there was a back. I opened the back window when the heat started to let the air through. You know, and the ivy had completely grown over the window. It was like some secret garden shit. It's like pushed the window like.
Yeah. Incest classic. Secret garden. I haven't heard that for a while.
Is that incesty?
Aren't they cousins?
I know it's about sexual. It's about sexual awakening, isn't it? Like teenage sexual awakening.
I think I saw like the BBC version.
Oh, the BBC they take all of the sexuality.
They take all that out. Yeah. Anyway, I got to ask you, Drew, because you said something that kind of blew my mind, and I think this needs to be publicly addressed. What's this about your monochrome website? Why have you gone all monochrome? Why is your terminal monochrome? Oh, yeah. Why do you hate
when
color?
You said that in chat, I wasn't quite sure what you were referring to, but I thought it might be there. Yeah, so it's part of like the, you know, the back to basics-y thing.
Yeah, John Major.
Like, colors, who needs them? First of all, I've never liked syntax highlighting in text editors.
So you don't have it on your own text editors?
Well, I do, because it's so hard to get rid of. Well, it's not that hard.
It's useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, your program, and it's excellent.
I find it more distracting and more like it draws my eye rather than guiding my eye. So
no, but it helps me. If I've dropped a quotation mark or something, it lets you know. Basically, it's the spell check of coding.
I don't notice. It doesn't help me notice stuff like that. But anyway, so I've gone grayscale. So it's still. I've still got different shades of grey, so the syntax highlighting.
Yeah, it's
does
not monochrome. I was going to say people are talking about monochrome, but it's nothing. I don't see any monochrome anywhere.
Well,
it's still monochrome. So one.
Okay, all right, hang on a minute. Let's define monochrome.
You've got one thing, it's monochrome.
Grayscale.
Well, neither is
a monochrome.
It's grayer color.
A green screen monitor is monochrome, but the pixels can have different degrees of
light. Grayscale,
grayscale.
I don't know. It is both grayscale monochrome.
Oh, well, for example, the Atari mono monitor.
Yeah.
The special, you know, special high res mode of Atari ST, that is mono. That's literally mono. It's either black or white.
Yeah,
well, like it's kind of paper white or black.
It's
duochrome, I suppose, technically, but the monitors were only paper white.
Black doesn't count. Yeah.
Well, my old art teacher always used to say that blacks and whites were tones and not colors. He was very adamant about that.
That is semantic at best.
Okay.
But yeah.
I always found this is kind of bizarre, but he always gave me a higher grade if I drew, like, he would ask us to like usually recreate a picture or do something in the style of for homework, and if it was ever like nudie, I'd get an extra, like, I'd get a bit of a bump, which now I don't think it was a sexual thing. Because it's like obviously like the drawing pictures of like a 13-year-old were obviously not what he was into. Like that's not a, you know.
Well, you hope. That's a specific fetish.
It's an odd one. Like, I wouldn't.
I mean, if he had that fetish, the only way you satisfy that fetish is by becoming an art teacher in like a high school.
Yeah, I mean, as far as
like weird work to it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd have had a. Like, I don't know. It's only a drawing.
I
mean,
no, I'd be the same as a teacher, though. I'd be like, that's good. That shows artistic maturity.
Yeah,
that
yes. I think I think it was a little bit more around, yeah, along the lines of, yeah, like, he's it shows confidence, I guess, maybe, or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I was in
sixth form. So it was the first year of sixth form. So we were 16 still, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend at the time for the art exam. So art exam is over 3 days you do a painting.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend at the time was doing a like full self-portrait nude. Mm. So she had her own room to do this in, obviously, like a little room where she could go and do that. And every time the art teacher wanted to talk to her, he would just like very awkwardly nudge me on the shoulder and go, could you go in and tell her? Like, walk in on a 16-year-old naked.
So what was she doing? Using a mirror or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would you? Yeah, would you actually need to be nude yourself? Wouldn't it be easy to take a picture or something and then work from that?
Yeah, unless you're Some people have a knack for it, but most people, if you paint from a photo, it looks like you're painted from a photo. It looks different.
Oh, you get the flatness of it or something.
Yeah, because it's like depth perception and like a photo is like looking
at something.
It's more the opposite of you get the flat. Because when you paint, you're not looking... Like when you look at a scene, you're looking sort of in a fixed position. And so, you know, the lens things happen around the edges. But when you paint, you're looking at that area and painting that and looking at that area. So everything is kind of flat. Unless you work very hard to make it not that. Whereas when you paint from a photo, it's got all that lensing stuff because that's there in the photo, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I had a friend who was very good at painting from photos and making it not look like a painting from photos.
Alan paints from photos.
That explains so
quite
much.
A few pictures up.
There's an art shop in Chepstow, and they'll do things like they do like wedding photos that they then paint out, and they cost a good amount of money, like what, 600, 700 quid, things like that.
Oh yeah,
And they do look like painted photos. It's really kind of just struck me that
But if you look at Renaissance artwork, excluding like Vermeer kind of cheated to use a camera obscura, but if you look at most Renaissance artwork or you know early Renaissance, and like for example, like the figures in the foreground will be in focus, the midground will be in focus, and the background will everything's in focus.
Yeah,
which obviously is not the case in a photograph or whatever.
In a photo, although lenses do come into it, don't they?
But in real life, you can just flip between distances easily, though, obviously.
Your brain is
used to it.
Well, that's one of the harder things learning about driving a bus is because you've got, like, on a bus, you've got mirrors and they stick out a fair bit, and you've got to look in the mirror and at the mirror because you got to make sure that you're not going to knock the mirror on something.
Yeah, you make sure you're keeping
it. So you're always... I wonder if, like, the muscles in my eyes are going to get, like, stronger or something because I'm always, like, long distance over here. Like, they're like, super active. Unlike, of course, Drew, who can only see the distance of his monitor.
I never had to wear glasses. Always had, like, perfect vision. But the last few years, my focal length is exactly my monitor. Any further away, it's blurry. Any closer, it's blurry.
Do you ever think you can try and get... Is there a way to do glasses from home?
Well, it doesn't matter, because that's all I need to look at.
Ah, fair enough. It'd be strange to see you in glasses. It'd be like it'd be strange to see Hamish out of glasses.
I do not suit glasses. I don't suit glasses and I don't suit hats. Which I got genetically from my mum. You put a hat on my mum, and it was just hilarious.
It's a whole different person.
She looked hilarious in a hat.
It's Stephen, the roadie.
Hamish has got a roadie look.
Yeah. It's like, oh, can you help me set up this amplifier?
But not a British trucker, like an American trucker.
I should have put a hat on then.
American truckers wear a bit more colour, though, don't they?
Do they?
I don't know. Like plaid.
They definitely get plaid.
Oh, Peanut.
He's going to get a hat.
Okay, let's see the hat review. Like, oh, that's very true. Oh, well, I mean,
cowboy hat.
That's very American now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're watering yourself like a plant.
Yep. Misting myself. Keep cool. Yeah.
Problem is, I can't put my headphones on with a hat on, so I can't hear what you're saying.
I'm tempted to have. We said you basically looked very American. Yeah, you did. You went full trucker in that regard. But I'm thinking about getting a spray bottle just for the purposes of on the bus because like that's got to help, right? How much does it help you?
Especially if you've got a fan pointing at you. But even without, like, it's just artificial sweat, isn't it? Like, so long as I think when you hit like 35 degrees, depends on humidity, but like it stops being as effective without the fan. But
We have fans in the cab, so.
Yeah, I mean, I can actually get, on those really hot days, every couple of hours, I will just soak myself with water, put the fan on full, and just sit right in front of it for like 10 minutes, and I get actually cold. It's nice.
Oh, okay. I might have to, that might be too hard not to try. Because the thing is, it is killer. Like, there's no air conditioning.
Horrible, yeah.
I gotta be honest, I'm surprised they let us drive for as long as we do under those conditions. It can't be safe.
Well, there's health and safety laws, aren't there, regarding like workplaces? But I think certain things have exemptions because how would you? Like,
yeah, but usually the buses are actually pretty strictly regulated. It's just this one particular area when it comes to the upper temperature, I guess, because it's not usually a problem.
Yeah.
Well, also, what would you do?
Well, the electric buses have aircon.
Yeah, but the door opening all the time. Surely that makes that quite ineffective.
Well, they got them on the electric buses, so that's all I... But I think the electric buses are a bit different because you know how heating works in like cars and buses and stuff? It just gets the hot air that comes off the engine. Mm-hmm. In electric vehicles, it needs a lot of cooling of the batteries. So there's just generally a lot of... Like, it just takes the cool air and then just...
So you've got cooling already happening, and you've got the excess heat from the cooling in case you want to make it hotter, I guess. Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah, I mean, I've not driven. They don't let me near the electric buses. Those are
too fancy.
Too fancy.
Don't let you near them.
Well, I'm a country driver. We're always knocking them up, aren't we?
Yeah.
They get in a horrible state because the trees and the branches over. You know, they grow over.
Yeah. What's the range on the electric buses?
I haven't got a clue. I haven't got a clue. They
I imagine it's not as much as a
well, buses are huge, so they must have loads of room for batteries.
Loads of room for battery. They've got massive batteries. To be honest, it's probably the same set of events where it's basically they're charged overnight. Where, you know, in the same way that buses are refilled.
Can they go that long? Like, can they go all day?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they can.
Because you can just add more batteries, but more batteries is more weight. It's one of those problems, isn't it? You have more batteries and.
But I think they're generally okay. However, I've been hearing that the Chinese are developing sodium based batteries, and actually and they are also they're the first to have a domestic car that runs on these sodium ion batteries.
That's cool. That's a lot easier to source than.
It's pros and cons because they're not as good as lithium ion, but if they're cheaper to make and cheaper to replace and all that kind of stuff, you could probably work around it a little bit. And the technology, of course, is only going to get better anyway.
I mean, definitely for certain things, maybe not for where you need super high density, but for like things that don't require that much density.
From what I've learned about, I think buses are actually the ones that benefit from this because you can just make them big. In terms of the scale, it's a bit like hydrogen as well. Like hydrogen works much better on the bigger the vehicle, not necessarily due to the weight, but just due to the size of the.
Hydrogen is a problem because of storing it, isn't it? It's like a really
we have hydrogen here in the UK on things like bin trucks and stuff for years now.
I've read posts by people at least claiming to be like engineers in the field. And like, just because hydrogen is so small,
yes,
like the tiniest, like it will just like even if you got, you know, what you would like a gas cylinder that you would have like propane in or whatever, the equivalent thing with hydrogen, like after a few weeks, it's just empty, it's just gone.
Yes, there's a name for it. Where it wears away,
it will almost like migrate through the metal, like it's small enough to like eventually just.
Yeah, there's a term they use. I've forgotten what it is now. It chips away at whatever it is to store it because it is the smallest molecule. All I know is that we've got like one of the local councils in the area have hydrogen bin lorries and they've been using them for years. Because the thing is, if you're just keeping them in tanks, yeah, sure, maybe they only last a short while. Recycle the tanks or. Something, or I don't know how it works.
I haven't got a clue, but I think I just heard that it's not feasible because of the engineering problems. But if it is, that's cool. Yeah, because hydrogen's.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I that video.
Are you talking about hydrogen solubility by any chance?
That sounds right. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, because the distortion in the crystal lattice of metal. Yeah. Because it's not perfect, always perfect. Hydrogen can sort of get through. Like you suggest, it's kind of like it can.
It's small
because it's so small.
I mean, the thing is, though, the technology connections video about electric cars. It's like why you've been lied to about electric cars all your life is kind of fascinating.
What's its main thesis?
It covers basically all the myths about the electric car and why they basically bullshit.
Well, I don't know what the myths are. What are the myths?
Things like batteries are actually quite bad for the environment, things like that. But the batteries that we have in things like cars and stuff is basically a closed loop of recycling. So actually, batteries make very little waste in practice.
That's good.
It's a bigger, like your double A's are probably a bigger problem than things like car batteries, because people just sling them out into general waste. We should be doing more about that, really.
There's problems. Put them in recycling, they don't always take them either.
No, that is true.
Sometimes you just leave them in the bottom of the bag.
The best thing you can do, which no one ever does, is take them to a supermarket or a shop that will have a battery recycling thing. Who fucking does that, though? That's the thing, isn't it?
I mean, you sometimes wonder if they actually get recycled properly. Because that's part of us, individual, like consumer recycling and things like that is just part of the old carbon footprint bollocks, really. Everybody, it all adds up, but there are two or three specific industrial and particularly wasteful millionaire billionaire type things going on that are the biggest polluters.
It's the things we can see, though.
I think that can get a little bit overstated. Like that's 100% right about like the idea of the carbon footprint is literally propaganda. That was the corporations taking the emphasis off themselves. And I think the argument that leftists often make is like it's not consumers that create the vast majority of carbon comes from manufacturing, right? Essentially from industry, but that does make the things we buy. Like, it isn't unrelated.
There's connections as I did say that it all adds up.
Thing that gets me, right, and I'm surprised the Welsh government didn't try and do something about this when they were in power in Wales, because they're quite, you know, good on the small stuff when it comes to recycling, is why are we allowed to buy plastic bottles when cans are right there?
Why did they stop it? I mean, well, I suppose one reason to stop glass bottles is safety, but
they do take an amount of energy to make. We can recycle things.
We talked about this before, like the fact that they just used to reuse milk bottles.
Yeah.
Like when you got your milk bottle delivered, they just got washed and then reused.
When you get Iron Brew in Scotland, I don't know if it still is the case, but when you buy Iron Brew in Scotland, the normal method of buying it isn't a 2-liter bottle or a can, it's a 750 milliliter glass bottle, and
I also remember, because I mean this is like classic old person rant, but you know, packaging, like everything's wrapped in so much fucking plastic.
When
I was very young, this is like the beginning, the earliest memories that I have, and this changed in my early lifetime, like going to the grocers with my mum. And you would go up to the counter and say, "I want this much cheese," and they would cut you off that much cheese, wrap it up in like wax paper, and you took that home. So much.
But that cost them staff as well, though. That was a staff bill It's all about making more money, but not actually making anything else better. And I mean, we're all now used to, I mean, I suppose you're not, Drew, but we're all now used to doing the shop workers' work job.
Self checkout.
And you know, to make you feel extra specially loved as a customer, they've got cameras watching you, they're weighing everything to the ground. There's still half a dozen bloody staff hanging around anyway, because
if I'm doing their job, I would shoplift enough staff to pay me a wage for doing that fucking job.
Interestingly enough, it is a source of shoplifting that is quite big, but I can only imagine the reason they don't do more about it is because it's still cheaper than higher.
Yeah, because they don't even call it stealing or shoplifting, they call it wastage, don't they?
But also the cameras.
Actually, this is only tangentially related, but it's something that irritates me. Like if we use free software projects, we find a bug or whatever, we'll happily report it, right? Or you know, a suggestion or like whatever, happy to engage. Mm-hmm. But when games that I've paid money for pop up a bug report thing, I'm like, are you going to pay me a fucking salary to fill this?
Yeah, you're making money out of this.
That's the
really big ones release too early deliberately. It's trying to save money on QA and stuff.
Gamers being fucking gamers who like pre-order things and get special editions and scams like that. They'll go, "I'm helping the community, I'm helping my..." Fuck off.
You came for it, mate. Yeah.
Do you know, I would ban that. I keep meaning to actually write down my unhinged manifesto because I think I've got I got things I want to say. I got ideas. But it basically
when I've commented on Gate, like on the Steam forums or something, I've said this game's shit for, you know, like these vague reasons, like just venting my frustration. And the developer's like, oh, can you talk more about like this so I can, you know, maybe think about fixing, you know, and I'm like, well, yeah, give me a QA fucking consultancy fee and absolutely I'll do that.
but do we feel differently when, because one of the things I really like is when people tell me how to get a game working on ProtonDB or something like that.
I'll share that information with others. Yeah.
I was trying to get the old Hitman codename 47 working because for some reason no longer works in Proton. But someone on, I think it was ProtonDB or in the Steam forums or something, you got to use this one version. You got to use this very specific version and it's fine. Yeah.
I had one the other day. It was a slightly pornographic Japanese game. Not super pornographic. Can't remember. I'm just saying that because I can't remember the name. But okay. I may mention this before, but so I struggled for quite a while to get it working, and then I checked ProtonDB, and people were saying it works with this one very specific version of Proton. I tried that, still didn't work, and I kept trying, kept various things. Eventually, dug a little bit deeper, and somebody said it works with this one specific version of Proton, and if you've got any other Proton prefix for this game, it will not work.
So you have to delete all the other.
You have to delete all the other ones you've tried. Have the game blank. And install this, or you know, make a prefix for this one specific version of Proton, then it worked. And I was like, that cannot possibly be
true.
That's not how Proton works. And yeah, I did it, and it worked. I was like, okay, fine.
No, I can see how that would work. If it relies on something that stays the same, but actually has changed it may have changed in some way that doesn't normally show up.
All the Proton stuff is self-contained in the prefix, isn't it? Like it's all in its own folder.
Yeah, but the small increments might still use a certain library or something. And if you install it fresh, you might get like like the bug wouldn't be a bug as such, but the bug would be that it wasn't inserted into the version numbers properly.
Clearly something's happening. Yeah. That sounds
so awesome. Something's changed, but they've not thought it worth versioning. Yeah.
Can you with a Flatpak just take the Flatpak version of Steam, the specific version of Proton in the game, and just bundle that up in one Steam package and then have Steam flight everything out.
Have Steam running a containerized version of Steam.
Yeah.
That's like that. Somebody a couple of years ago released a new Apple II game on Steam, right? Nox Archaeus. And that game runs. So all you get in the download is a disk image and an emulator.
Okay.
So. Yeah. And because the disk image is the entire Apple II disk image, your save games are written to the disk image, which also contains the game. So they literally can't update it via Steam.
Oh, yeah.
So when they update it, you have to go to their Discord and ask them for a link to a download, and then you replace it. Which is,
I had a slightly weird one when I was getting Rosie over onto Linux, where she lost her Shapes save games, which I thought was really strange because I never had a problem. Mm. Shapes always synced with Steam thing, Steam Cloud.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I worked this out really quickly, which was, well, let's just try it with Proton and run the Windows version and see if it's the save games just for some reason aren't. Yeah, and it was the case. The save games came back, which I thought...
Games that have a Linux version, unless I know for a fact that the Linux version is well made, I'll just, without even trying the Linux version, I'll default to the Proton version.
It was a seamless transition. Like it didn't.
It was better 99% of the time.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Not because there's anything wrong with Linux, but because game developers don't know how to code on Linux.
That's it's similar to when it really gets me when Itch games on Itch. I love Itch as a platform, but then, you know, developer develops a game for Itch, it gets a little bit of traction, they got the clout to then go on Steam, and then they leave the Itch version to die when they go and, you know, publish the game on Steam.
I've not seen that, but yeah, I can imagine
it. Oh, it happens way too often. And the thing is, as well, is that often the case is that like the money that you put down on the itch version is like what you call it? It's a bit like crowdfunding type of thing.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
And there are certain games from small developers. I'll chip in a few quid for crowdfunding. But then, yeah, the second they get the money and the clout, they don't update the itch anymore. It's like, what happened to your old school fans?
That's kind of disgusting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not that. I mean, I know it's hassle, but it's not that much fucking effort, is it?
No, I mean, I certainly don't begrudge them for going on Steam, although I'd not at all. In an ideal world, developers would take a bit of a stand. But okay, look, you're making games, it's your job, whatever, right?
Itch is better, but it is one of those. It's still a commercial company. It's still proprietary. It's still like they behave better, but
I mean, Steam isn't a bad company
it's like
either.
You're into Blue Sky over Twitter, right? It's that.
This is much better situation. Steam, a decent company. Yeah. Itch, a decent company. Yeah, you're choosing to.
They're both decent. Yeah.
Yeah. Relatively. So I don't want to like. Yeah, it's not. I'm not going like full tribal.
Just on the subject of itch games, an itch game. This is one of my heat distraction games. Last heat wave. Exclamation mark Amiga sign. Factorial Amiga. My dystopia robot girlfriend. It's a game on itch. It's free. It's about you get a robot girlfriend and have to fuck her on live streams to make money to pay your rent. It's very, very good.
Do you want to know something, some prejudice?
Surprisingly narratively deep.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. You've got to write that down. I'll never remember that, but I'm interested. I'll
paste it. Well, how do you put an Amiga symbol in the...
Copy paste.
I think if you just search my dystopian robot girlfriend, which is actually what it comes up as when you...
Okay. I was looking for Amiga.
Before
you mentioned the
right, you meant Amiga, the Greek character. Oh, sorry, I thought you meant like there was some.
Oh, Omega!
Not your
bloody
Spanish
hell,
friend. Amiga.
Right? Oh, no, Omega.
Amiga. Alpha to Amiga.
No.
It's the
Amiga is Omega. Spanish female friend.
Yes.
So,
your Amiga was your robot girlfriend.
Yeah. Anyway, I developed this new prejudice, and it just came in my head.
Black people.
Oops. Kinky. Whoops.
Well, you know how YouTubers and social media types now have taken to sporting the ironic mullet and moustache.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they're not. There's a lot of kids around here doing it. I see kids.
I see kids around here doing it too. But the thing is, doesn't matter, right? Whenever I see a guy like that, for some reason my brain goes, his girlfriend has OnlyFans. And I don't know why.
Hey, the ironic mullet is better than the hairstyle that's been dominant with young people for the last, like, 10, 15 years. Just the pile of curls on top. Just the pile of hair. Like, short here, and then a pile of hair. A pile of broccoli-looking
hair
on top of it. I hate that shit.
Except unless it's on a woman.
No. I don't want their haircut on anyone. It looks fucking stupid.
I
want more. There was a period where we started going into asymmetrical haircuts, like very severe, like side. What do you call it? Like shaving the side.
Yeah.
Undercuts and then the hair going one way and like shaved differently on this side. Like I love that shit. I want more asymmetrical hair.
Yeah, because you
would like the Thompson twins then.
Yeah, aesthetically. Yeah,
which one's the Thompson twins? What the
80s
pop band,
Oh, okay.
Well, trio.
Named after, what are they named after? Is it Tintin?
From Tintin, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it detectives or something there?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's kind of fun, isn't it? Yeah.
She had a tattoo on the side of her head as well, which was quite...
Yeah. No, that's a good... I don't hate that look at all. So anyway, this monochrome business of yours.
Yes.
So monochrome, you want a monochrome, what you call it, a terminal, monochrome website?
Well, I've got monochrome in my terminal, and I'm not 100% committed to it. I'm living with it.
You switch your desktop graphics to grayscale.
Yeah, but I don't want to lose like colors in like video films and stuff like that. You know, like I thought about it. Like it would be because black and white is definitely easier on the eyes. I think it's calmer to look at. So I like that aspect of it. You're definitely losing some information, but I don't know whether it's necessarily that useful information that I'm losing. So I'm just going to live with it for a bit and see if I can get on with it. But I did also think about making my website, including like images and stuff, just completely grayscale, like you're looking at it on a black and white screen.
See, that used to be easier with computers because the computer itself would deal with that because of the graphics modes.
Yeah, well, you can still do that.
You used to be able to do that, you know, because there were palleted systems, you know.
Yeah, no, you can do that in your graphics card settings.
Yeah,
friend, but you haven't changed yet. No, you've still got blue. I mean, you're quite close to being monochrome anyway.
Well, like I say, the pictures and the emojis would be the really noticeable thing.
Well, you don't have any emojis, do you?
I do on some part. Yeah, I mean, I so literally about emojis and stuff.
I was just wondering how many colors I use on my website. I think it's four. Two shades of green, a yellow, and a purple.
I'm going to do it now, and we'll see what you think, okay?
Okay.
Give me a moment.
I quite
like the colour scheme on my website right now.
Yeah, no, you're really good with colours.
I enjoy it. It took me a while to get here. I'd gone back to the monospaced Comic Sans fonts, which for some reason tickle me in a way that I quite enjoy. I think I find it very easy to read, but also monospaced.
Yeah, I don't like that font, but the way it's used on your site, it looks decent.
You're not supposed to like it. It's a bit like the ironic mullet of fonts.
I've updated the site. So if you go to like the jewel post, which has got pictures on it.
See what you think. Okay, let's see.
I forgot, what's the full address? Monstro?
Frendo.monster.
Oh, Frendo.monster.
Oh, how did you turn them all black and white like that?
Oh, yeah, that's just CSS. Just a CSS thing on the body. Set it, a grayscale filter.
Oh.
I like it. And if you click on the images, you get, you know, the actual image, which is color. So it's not like you're missing out.
Did you do that on purpose?
What do you mean?
Made it a link? Or is that just something Blop does?
I did that.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I see what you're saying. You just click it and you get the color picture.
Yeah.
It's a pity you can't escape to go back. You've got to actually go back. That would be cool.
Well, it's an actual picture. It links to the actual picture.
Oh, yeah, it just links to the picture.
I
hate websites where you click on a picture and it's just link me to the actual fucking picture. So,
you've got a point there, yeah.
Yeah, well, you don't even have back buttons on your website.
No, well, you've got back
on
buttons
on the website. Your browser's got back buttons, yeah.
But I've got a little go back home to my core page.
I've always done that previously, but then you think, like, I've got so many ways of going back in a web browser. Do I really need the website to provide one? It's another one of those.
Yeah,
like,
I used to do it back in the 90s, but yeah, it's not something I would. Yeah. It's got the sidebar with a little, which I know you score. What I'm looking for.
No, I think sidebars are a good thing. Sure.
I like sidebars too. However, phones. Like, you either have to CSS it in so that it works on a single column layout, which is
on a phone. You just get rid of it. That's easy. Just get rid of the sidebar on the phone.
Or just don't give a shit because it's people using phones.
Or just don't give a shit. Yeah, fuck phones.
People use phones, like, you know, they're out and about, and it's like, oh, I want to listen to the Freebooters podcast. I made that on phones. You know, work on phones. It's fine. I use Tmux on phone. You know, like, don't get me wrong, I'd love a world without phones, but also,
I mean, they are a reality of people use them, but I don't, so I don't give a fuck.
So it's taking me forever to type in my web address.
Thepolarbear.co.uk. Oh, actually, Hamish's does go into single column layout when you on a phone.
That's what I was trying to find out.
We were looking at somebody in chat, I think Wing.
I remember that.
What was that site called? The something.org that had a columnar layout?
Oh, it was worm.blossom.org.
Worm.blossom.org. And you said, I've always wanted to do a column layout on my website.
Yeah.
I think a column layout looks nice, but I don't think it works well. Aesthetically, it looks really cool because you're using the full space and these, you know, the things relate to each other in interesting ways. But if you're just trying to read, I think it's more awkward than standard.
Okay, I'll put a little picture of it up for folks watching the video. So my thoughts immediately are, well, the short columns are easier to read.
Yeah, it's like a newspaper or a magazine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, but a newspaper, out of necessity, really wanted to fill the entire space. With a browser, you don't have to. We're not space limited, so why not just have a column that just keeps going down? I know it looks cool. I know it looks nice. Like, it does look nice. And I've toyed with the idea. But I think just if your primary thing is just caring about quality of just reading it, I do think just a single column going down works best.
Back to basics.
This isn't me arguing for one or the other, because like I say, it does look better. And if that's your priority, then absolutely.
You say we're not space limited. One long column all the way down is, I guess, the most pragmatic approach. But also, screens are quite wide, phones are quite long, so you've got to match the two. You've got to marry the two worlds.
That's always been a problem with text on websites. Yeah, we've always, you know, the earliest websites were just shunted on the left, and then we started putting it in the middle. Like, we've always had this thing, you know, a column. And yeah, you can put columns side by side, but do you break per screen?
Yeah, when you break.
Or yeah, and I do think that's more awkward than just continuously scrolling down in terms of reading it.
That's why phone screens are shit.
More distracting as well. Your eye has to do work to know not to go over here, to go, you know, to carry on down here, despite there being text over here. And it's more. I'm not trying to say this is a big deal or anything, but I do. I think there's. I think.
I love the idea of filling the whole width of the screen, even though it makes text quite difficult to read when it's so long across the screen.
Yeah. Yeah. I've thought about just letting it fill the whole screen, and then just people can just size their browser for their comfort.
But again, not everyone uses tiling, you know.
You can do it without tiling.
Although, floating. Yeah, but then that's work. You're making them do work.
Yeah, which is how I feel when I encounter a site like that. It's like, for fuck's sake, I've got to, you know.
I mean, I can quite comfortably read the whole width of a screen. I'm, you know, like, I get that it's easier. Really? Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, I really struggle.
Doesn't it depend on the size of the screen I've got? Lines.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
I've got a 42-inch monitor, so...
And actually, the reason why, like, monitors like Hamish are kind of the reason why I do a center column down the middle as well. Mm. Because, Drew, of course, you go down the left-hand side, but if you do that on Hamish's screen, you're looking all the way over there. You're like...
Well, if I look at my website, because of the sidebar, it's a wee bit further over. On mine,
but a wee bit.
I know how I can show you. Hang on, I just realised I can show you. Literally,
there we go. Look, I mean, you don't even have a maximised window anyway. That's quite a big. Is that 4K?
You can see it all.
Is it ultra wide or just ultra big?
It's 16:9 still. So yeah.
Oh, okay. Because some people have like the two. What is it like?
1440 or whatever.
That's it. Yeah, like the really long ones.
I've got an ultra wide one that I was using before this, but I was using a 16:9 as well, and it was annoying me. So I just wanted one big honking great one to try. You can actually plug in multiple sources into it and make it like a thing.
I was going to say the reason I went down the left instead of in the middle is because it looks better when you do a half window on a tiling window manager, but yours actually goes very nicely when you're half window at Chris. So
most websites do. I actually quite like about half of all websites on the internet look better in a half window, and then the other half don't.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bit of a pain.
It is. I think it's a design problem that I think if somebody solves it,
I should have. Yeah, I should have showed you some different websites, shouldn't I?
Our monitors are designed, or not designed for, but in terms of their form factor, lean towards games and movies, TV shows, rather than towards, you know, websites of text. And nobody's really solved the problem of using the full space of a web browser window with text. I don't think.
The solution is the vertical monitor that some people have. They'll have a second vertical monitor.
Yeah, but then. You want to watch it? Like, I would want my monitor to detect what I'm looking at and automatically, like, voop, voop. That would be cool.
You want a tablet?
I want a tablet that automatically changes orientation for me.
You want a tablet with a Bluetooth keyboard? There we go. Problem solved.
I do not want that.
I dread to the day coming when the fucking Android lockdown comes.
I see. I mean, it's in progress, isn't it? Yeah, it was always going to go that way. I fucking hate Android. Like, we were a little bit talking in chat about handhelds the other day. I can't remember the context, but we were saying like people should get rid of phones, and I linked the Scion 5,
which was
a beautiful design of, you know, a clamshell that slid open with a proper fucking keyboard, like a really useful keyboard and a screen. And like, I wish that form factor was still
Phone
machines certainly have their places for a certain kind of convenience. You make compromises for it, but it's the operating system that's fucking terrible. Like, Android is horrible. It's based, and it's, it pains me that it's based on Linux.
Yeah, well, yeah, so it's based on Linux, but then the top end of it, the front end of it, is all based on advertising and tracking. The whole system is designed to track and advertise.
Even that aside, though, it's just a shit. It's a shit UI.
Well, and they change it every 5 minutes as well.
Yeah, but without ever making it better. When I was looking at little gaming handhelds, I avoided the ones that ran Android because they're just like people using them saying they're a fucking faff compared to the bespoke ones built on Linux. They're fucking great. Like the one I've got is great. But the ones built on Android are horrible.
Yeah, because it's just a simplified Linux system.
Also, but also the whole like essence of that is cutting corners, right? Oh, what can we do to like flog something? I'll just get something with a form factor and just slap Android on it. Like
but something. Palm OS back in the day. I had a Palm 3D, which was kind of it was great. That was super simple. Like all you could do was launch apps and then use the app, close the app. Yep, like that's really all you could do. But it worked well.
I got really into those for a while,
They're really good. I really like the Palms, and the Palm OS.
I have to really... My next phone, I'm really going to have to do some soul-searching as to whether or not I want to splash out on something that runs something other than Apple or Android.
The problem is they make it hard for you to use the actual phone functions when anything other than... deliberate.
If you actually want to use it and you actually want to engage with people.
Your banking in particular.
Banking. People who use things like WhatsApp, you know, if you've got it, friends, family, whatever. But
WhatsApp's pretty good at running on stuff.
The Scion 5 style, that size device that's kind of like, it's like a very tiny laptop, right? Mm-hmm. Like a netbook, but smaller. Like, why doesn't that form factor still exist? Because I think there were lots of people who would like something between a phone and a laptop.
Yeah.
And imagine you, Chris, if you had the option between a phone and something, a modern version of the Scion, you'd go for the Scion, right, with a full keyboard and...
It would certainly be tempting,
And there was that Nokia, wasn't there? Nokia N something that had a similar... That sounds right, But I don't know why they didn't sort of stick around. I don't know why that... Because netbooks were popular for it before tablets became a thing. I really like netbooks.
I like netbooks. I had a netbook for years. What would be quite cool is if you had a like one of those Scion mini things, and then you could just SSH into your system, and it would be the exact same system on your desktop and on your phone.
That's kind of what Ubuntu were trying to do with their phone stuff, like the convergence. Mm. Not quite that, but the convergence device where you had a phone that was a phone, and then when you got home, you docked it, and it was your PC. And like that's, I don't think Ubuntu had the right take on that idea. But I think I don't know why. I don't know why Android, for example, because these Android phones are fucking powerful now. Mm. Like they're probably. I don't know this as a fact, but I assume they're somewhere around the power of like a Switch, right? So why not make it so you get home, you dock it next to your TV, and it's your media center, it's a console. Like, why haven't they gone that right way?
Because they can sell you a separate device.
But it's not the same companies. They will be taking
it. Doesn't matter. They're all connected in a.
Yeah, they compete.
You know, they don't want to step on each other's toes because one day they might want to get in the same.
In certain areas, they absolutely. If Google
I think I was listening to one of the Linuxy podcasts. I think it was Destination Linux, and they were talking about how one of the newer versions of Android, this might have been a while ago though, they were working on a like a desktop mode as part of Android.
You know, I've tried that, and it's horrible because it's Android. That's the problem. Like, when I say like doing it, I mean doing it well. Like, it's full screen Android with a menu. It's the shitty Android apps, and some of them get that they're in desktop mode, some of them don't. It's like using Linux on a phone, which is just a similar experience.
Yeah, well, so I don't know. I mean, I might have to do some research as to whether or not I can get banking apps working, and WhatsApp can work on a lot of things. I don't think WhatsApp would be too much of a problem.
I mean, working in a web browser, can't it? But you know what I mean? Like those kind of things where you're expected to have it. And
it might.
That's the other thing about Android. Everything in it is web.
It's a web
application. It's just wrapped web.
Why not just use the ad? Like, so
I honestly, I mean, I know for you, like the free software, for something like a phone, I would just give up on the free software stuff. It's not, I don't think it's viable.
But it's not just the free software stuff. Like the free software stuff is part of it. But like the F-Droid stuff is a repository of software that isn't laden with advertising, that it runs relatively smoothly.
That continue working for much longer.
And they're trying to block that.
What I was going to say was, if I was buying a phone, I'd get secondhand, I'd get a refurb or something. But if I was buying a phone rather than relying on hand-me-downs because I don't give a shit, I think I would go iPhone, just because it's a marginally nicer operating system.
It's a much nicer operating system. It's just locked down. That's the.
But Android's going that way, and
exactly. And what's the difference?
I know it's a somewhat dubious argument, but I think it's also somewhat true. I think your privacy's a bit more secure on Apple.
Only because
that's not their business, and they want to lean that way because that's not their business.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if it has a SIM card in it, your privacy is fucked anyway, like, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's to whom?
To whom?
Is that information? I don't want Google do what Google does. You know, they're an ad company. They're a surveillance ad company, whereas Apple aren't.
I don't know. I'm sure over the years I've read some equally awful stuff about Apple. Like, I will say, it's better.
Yeah, there's some recent stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I've had Apple phones for work before, and they've done everything that I wanted to do well. Like, I'm not, like, the quality of them, whether they're worth the money, that's a different question. But it was certainly, it was certainly, like, but then again, the second-hand option is an option. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
I just get a refurb iPhone just because. Yeah, the free software, fully free software versions aren't really viable. Android's getting more locked down, and iOS is just more pleasant to use. No, I would never say that for a laptop. I'd never get a Mac laptop. I'd never get a Mac desktop, but specifically for phones, just it's because I don't care about phones. So if I cared more, I would care more, you know?
Yeah, with me, because I'm out and about so much, it's a bigger part of, like, I wish I could have this thing that is not a big part of my life. I don't have that many apps on it. Like, it's an RSS.
Well, the frustration is, especially because you know we don't use many apps. The frustration is that, like, there's no technical barrier to it. It could be a thing. It could easily be a thing.
Oh, it's literally to maintain monopolies.
Yeah, WhatsApp, banking, Discord. There's a few work bits that are optional. I could just, you know, go on the websites for that kind of stuff. Yeah, there's really no particular anything holding me back. I do need the phone part of it, but that's just that. I can have, you know,
any phone will do that.
Any phone will do that.
Do you actually use your phone as a phone a decent time?
Well, when like stuff happens on the road, that's how we ring control, traffic control. Okay, right, yeah. So that's
as a private citizen, do you use?
Not
because people don't generally much, do they? And when they do, it's a WhatsApp call or.
Oh no! If I look through my call history, it's Rosie and traffic control. The two people I've probably ever called.
When you call Rosie, it's phone call, not a WhatsApp call or a.
It's a phone call. Just in my break, you know, we just chat on.
It seems
break,
like I'm really. Prying. I'm just curious.
No, it isn't. It's
twice a day, three times on Sunday. That's the old
phone numbers are just, they seem so like anachronistic to me, really. Like, I don't like using them as ID. I don't like it's just like that, then like nothing to me. I wish you know, we had a, I don't know, it just feels like a clunky way of doing everything that it does. But
how do you mean?
Well, like how think about two-factor authentication or verifying an account, like, to make sure you're not a bot or a.
You don't mean phone numbers used as phone numbers. You mean phone numbers used as
everything else? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've said this. It's so obvious, but why is when I, because I don't leave the fucking house. I don't. The only reason I have my phone is for things that force me to authenticate via the phone, via SMS or whatever, like my bank. Why is the canonical device the one that I could easily drop, lose, or have stolen? Why is the non-canonical device the one that's sitting on my desk?
Yeah, someone came on my bus the other day, and they were like, I think I've left my phone on one of your buses. What can I do? And I was like, oh, it's all right. We can print out like a ticket with a phone number on. You don't have your phone. The phone number's useless to you. didn't know what to do. I got to be honest. Like, and I felt for the guy. Like, I mean, he needs it to.
That's what scares me about people that put everything on their phone. My whole life's on it. Well, why did you trust your whole life to somebody else's device?
Well, no, it's all right because it's in the cloud.
Not even your device anymore. You know.
Oh, it's backed up in the cloud. It's fine.
Oh fuck! Oh god.
It's people who've, like, young people who've, like, their entire life has been on and with the phone, like Danny. Like, every now she has to go and, like, clear out her cloud because it's too full. She's got photos from when she was, photos she took when she was 5, you know, in this cloud thing on her current phone. And it's like a whole life, like literally a documentary record of her entire life. And it's gigs and gigs and gigs just, like, stored. It's insane.
That's amazing, yeah.
Well, there was a thing the other day. There's a case I was following. I think I mentioned this in another video. And part of this, I think I mentioned about how people just, they'll use a platform and just think that it's theirs. You know, I think I mentioned this. It was somebody on YouTube. So they were surprised when somebody was able to take down a YouTube video, basically. But I got worse. It's something tangentially. A cop was able to get a subpoena to Google with the condition that they don't tell the person whose Google account it is for 90 days. And they were allowed everything from Google. And Google, you know, Google are not a company. Well, you know, they're sort of compliant with fascism anyway. So they're not going to be rocking the boat in that respect for one individual. And basically they got all these, where, you know, all his physical tracking data, where he'd been, you know, his GPS and everything, every email he'd done that was still available on the, you know, from up to that date, and all, you know, all that stuff. And then people go, my God, this is terrible. And then they start going on about, you know, then some people in comments were, oh, Google are evil for doing that. It's like, well, no, they were kind of forced to. But what Google are evil for is storing all that constantly. You know, and it's also, if you're going to be doing something like journalism and you use public services like, you know, Microsoft OneDrive and Google Drive and YouTube and Gmail and everything, what makes you think you've got absolutely any privacy if you use those things?
Yeah. I mean, the investigative journalists...
When they were just selling this data, they would often say, like, it's anonymized, it's fine, but, like, it's trivially easy when you've got enough of the data to reconstruct, you know, who's meeting who, who's communicating
It's absolutely dystopian, you know?
People are surprised,
especially Americans seem surprised. Oh, but the Constitution says that. You really think, we've got the Constitution that protects us. Does it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was the bit about unreasonable search and seizure. Like, that one went out the window pretty fucking sharp.
I mean, they abide by the letter of it, but they don't. They just get warrant. Because no search and seizure without a warrant. So they just issue
a judge, a friendly judge.
I'm sure we've had this conversation before, right? Second Amendment, right? Classic debating topic. But, like, is preventing an American citizen from owning a nuclear arsenal?
No, I was bare arms.
I'm adamant that the Second Amendment gives it doesn't put any limits on arms.
Yeah, so what he's saying.
There's the one argument that it is pertaining to being a member of a militia, which is arguable. Yeah. Depending on the placement of a comma that's in different places on different drafts of the document. I think an honest reading of that amendment means that American citizen can own a nuclear missile, an aircraft carrier, an Apache helicopter. Absolutely. Yeah, that's what that amendment
is. Bioweapons. What about disease?
No, absolutely. Anthrax, like whatever you want. Yeah.
That feels to me like
there's no it has to be stored safely, that, you know, any limits you put on that are an infringement of that right.
It said not infringed at all.
Yes.
It's an amendment, so that this is the other thing is, well, the Second Amendment means I can it's pliable, you know.
Not anymore. Yeah. When was the last? I mean, the last amendment was more recent than you think, but it was a very trivial one. Like, the last significant amendment was very. They don't. It should be. If you're going to have a constitution, got to be a living document.
Oh, yes. Yeah, obviously. But then that ceases to kind of be a constitution, right?
Well, the fundamental problem with the constitution, this is why I'm
27 amendments.
I'm just against constitutions, is that if you have a constitution, then there is inherently a body that arbitrates what is constitutional according to the constitution, and that body will inevitably become the subject of political capture.
Yes.
Which has happened in America. I
mean, are we going to end up being anarchists at one point? Is that just always never.
Anarchists are just Marxists who haven't read enough.
Huh. I thought they all run a lot.
It's the same as fucking Lord of the Rings. Same. Where are your finished goods coming from?
Your finished goods? Finished or Finnish?
Finland! Finland, yeah.
What's a Finnish company? All good. Was your Nokia phones coming?
There we go. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean.
China.
What were we talking about? Something else. What were we talking about?
Well, monochrome stuff. Constitution. Wasn't it?
Yeah, monochrome.
Constitution. Yeah.
Although, actually. You were going to say. Well, this is a good segue, actually, because Hamish was talking about, not owning your own gear and stuff, or not your own owning your own platform. I've been, as a little bit of an exercise, getting up a Luante server, formerly Mindtest, and I actually found it to be really quite easy. I just did sudo apt install Luante.
It's a Debian server, isn't it?
Yeah, Debian server. Didn't bother. Like, I just got the Debian repo version. If I wanted to, I guess I could probably find something newer. But it did the job that I needed to do.
Yeah, isn't that the thing with games though? That isn't that the sort of sticking point with monolithic sort of distros? Games need more up to date things and stuff.
Generally, they don't. Not the free software ones.
Often not, no, and okay. Debian can sometimes be quite good at that kind of thing anyway. And it does.
Before we get lost in details and stuff, do you want to give out the address? Because I mean, you really want people to engage with this, so like, give out the address.
Okay, it's luante.freebooters.uk, but it's still very much in the setup process. So if you want to build it, it's a creative server, no survival mode or anything like that. Don't do it on the bit you spawn at, right? Because that will probably be cleared for some kind of lobby. So just go off into like one direction for a little bit, not too far, and just have a go. And let me know in the Discord if you work on something and you don't want it disturbed. I'll maybe try and find a way to protect it or lock, you know, like whatever. So at the moment, very early stages, alpha stage at the moment. But basically, I've put on a bunch of mods. I'll probably be putting on more mods. I'm really just trying to see how easy is it. And it's about as easy as setting up a Gemini server. It really is. You install it. You just put in a few commands to generate a world. You download the mods and just stick them in the folder, the specific folder. I use Git clone. So, you know, when they put the mods out on GitHub, you just go Git clone, boom, into the folder. That's one nice. Command.
Yeah.
Piece of cake. I've got custom skins on at the moment, but I don't have many skins in the skin library, so I'll work on that. It was easy as trivial to set it to a subdomain as well, piece of cake, and didn't need to do anything with Kaddy. It manages the server itself straight from the package, because I was expecting, do I need to reverse proxy into Kaddy or something like that? Nope, none of that. It runs perfectly fine, no bugs. It's just install it, run a command to generate a world. Do some config files, basic stuff, message of the day, name of the server, that kind of stuff. Set an admin and, set permissions. It's all done in config files, and you just look at, it's all in the documentation, and you just run it. I did a systemd service. So if it crashes, it will just fire up again.
Just come back up,
Come back up. And what I've done is I've got a little command in the terminal, the SSH terminal, where it's sort of just a bit of a backup and reset command. So it takes the service down. Because it uses SQLite 3 for the database, you've got to cut it or stop the service from running before you back it up. So I've done a little script that just takes the service down, copies the world into like a tarball, and then fires up the world again, all in one comment, all in one command. So it's just a little bit of a, if I'm installing a mod, I run that command at the end of it, boom, boom, and then it's reset it. If I need to reset it, boom, boom. Okay, it does a backup in the process that takes no time, but whatever. Like, it's just one command in a little bash script. You don't need to do it as a bash script, but it's just...
I'm assuming over time, though, this will get slower and slower as it gets more populous.
It could do. I mean, maybe in a year's time, I'll do a reset or something, or I don't know. I'm still very much learning it and working it out and all that kind of thing. It's only ever had one person on at the moment, so that might change. But to be honest, I'm doing so much with the server and having so much of a fun time with it. I'm not beyond upping a tier or whatever. Because we use it for Owncast, we use it for Luante, and am I being a bit risky by having Owncast and Luante on the same server? No,
if you're doing stuff for like a corporation and you want blah, like no, but yeah, no, people get too fucking finicky with that shit.
Yeah, the ones that have to be separate from me are PeerTube and Ice Shrimp because of their ability to fill the data. Yeah.
Which one's Ice Shrimp again? Music.
It's the microblogging one.
Oh, right.
It's the microblogging one. It's Mastodon's sort of. It does a lot of things that people are getting excited about in Mastodon. These other ones have been doing for years. Yeah. It's crazy.
I can't remember what I was using, but I can't remember what it's called. But one of the bigger ones, and just the unlimited post length.
Yeah, things like that.
I don't think you can even change in Mastodon, even if you self-host.
I think you have to go into something pretty low.
Yeah.
It may have changed since then, but...
Yeah.
But the problem,
I get them saying that is the nature of the format. I understand that.
Yeah.
When other clients are allowing you, or servers are allowing you to do that, it's kind of a pointless stance.
Yeah, I'm really kind of waiting for the...
Obviously, they want to be a service. The people who make Mastodon don't care about... Fediverse. They want to be a service, a product.
It's so frustrating when you're arguing with somebody, you're trying to make your fucking point and trying to cram it into like this character. I hate that so much. Not that I do it anymore. But.
I do like the Fedi, but it does feel to me like it's more complicated than it needs to be. I keep dreaming about the idea of having a RSS-based social network where it's super, super bare bones. You just have feed of microblogs that is just RSS, and
I've toyed with the idea of a transient. Okay, so I've not fleshed this out whatsoever, but the idea is like friends. We would all sign up to it, and we would like run a little thing on our computers, and we can do a thing, and it just notifies, and then it's gone. I like that, like completely transient sort of like messaging to a small community. I like that idea. Or it could pop up even, maybe not a pop-up, but like it pops up in your terminal or something. Because there is a message. It used to be able to, within a,
when computers are more than one user, you could message.
Something like that would be cool. And if you miss it, you miss it. I like that.
Interesting. Idea. I mean, we certainly, the technology is there. I do. I did try and mess around with the idea of a protocol that is basically a text file. One line is one status, and then didn't you and Hex do something like that for Gemini at one point?
We did do something like that for Gemini, and that was quite cool. But it was just pages essentially. It wasn't very sophisticated. Yeah.
I think the problem with a lot of these simplified systems is that you get a lot of the things that you end up having to do anyway is because of other people. You know, people can manipulate things the wrong way or mess with things, and you end up having to build a protocol, you know.
I think it's something both me and Wing are sort of leaning to. Just make things for small communities. Make things for your own community. Mm-hmm. Don't make it as a, like, this is going to take over the fucking world. Like,
make it
for 15 people, you know.
Mm. But, I mean, I just mean, like, just a style of RSS feed so that you can just pop in, a terminal or something.
I mean, I don't like RSS as a format because it's so... It's awful to work with, and it's kind of inefficient for the actual information. There's a lot of markup for the information, compared to text files or even something like YATL. Or I don't like JSON either.
No,
JSON is more efficient. Just YATL, something like that.
Which one's YATL? I don't know YATL. How do you spell it?
YAML, not
YAML. Oh, YAML. YAML. No. Oh, right. Yeah.
I mean, Wing fucking hates YAML, but like just something.
This is it. This is the problem. You hate JSON. Wing hates YAML.
I think Wing hates JSON as well.
But what do you hate?
Don't you? Everything.
Mastodont.
Like if you manually have to write RSS, you should never have to manually write. But writing RSS manually or trying to code something that pulls information from RSS, It's like the RSS libraries are horrible, and doing it by hand is horrible. Whereas a text file, you can just use the shell commands to pull what you need from it.
So you would say if such a thing were to exist. Text files would be ideal. Would be the way you'd go.
Yeah, I mean, it's for you, a CSV. Why not just a CSV? Like status, who said it, time, and if you have some authentication thing, then you know that kind of stuff in there. But you know, whatever.
Yeah. It's just why not? Well, CSV.
Our shells are designed for working because things like RSS were made for systems that don't have our capability to just text in, text out, text streams. Like text streams are so good.
Yeah,
and so readable and so efficient,
and you could have double. Here's an interesting concept for you: two or more spaces could be the denoter.
Yeah. I like that for something like that. That's controlled, absolutely. Yeah,
because things like delimiter.
Sorry, what did I say? Delimiter.
Denoter.
Denoter.
Wait a minute. What does that mean?
What I like about things like TSV, CSV, even YAML, I'd say, is that it's both machine readable and human readable, and that's nice. It's again, it takes it down to a more human level, not as opposed to RSS, JSON. They're machine readable. You're not supposed to read it as a human. It's nice that it's both. It's nice that it's again JSON's smaller human project, readable, isn't it? Smaller community. No, not. I mean, RSS or XML is human readable, but it's a lot of mental overhead compared to a CSV.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I would the tool I would use would convert your the reason I lean towards RSS is because it already exists as a thing, so you could subscribe to something that wasn't designed for this way of using it, and it would still work.
Yeah. Yeah, if it would cope, yeah. The thing is, I mean, we say RSS already exists, but like virtually nobody uses it. Like, I like what RSS does. I don't like the format. I like what RSS does, but like it's only us kind of nerds that use RSS these days.
I mean, it's used in software and stuff. Like, it's used behind the scenes a lot.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
And that's really, like, it's...
I'm talking about people who use it and know they're using it.
Oh, well, that's I mean, that's neither here nor there, right?
I think it's a little bit here.
Okay, all right. It's a little bit here, not quite there, I guess.
It's not there, but it's a little bit here. I know what you mean. I mean, yeah, your point's completely right.
Like,
it's just a horrible format. It's a horrible format.
I don't like speaking ill of the dead.
Oh, we're on to your alibi then, are we?
Oh, no, I didn't murder Adam Whittaker. See, why did you accuse me? Why did you accuse me, right, when I'm on CCTV all day?
Yeah, how could
Because we? you've got that sussed. You've got your timings and everything to make it even... I'm seeing all these moments, and then somebody who picks and picks will find the exact timing for you to... Ah.
And we know he loves making videos of himself in AI, so he's just like plugged that into the feed.
I've never made a video of myself in AI, have I?
That
one video, one time.
but that was the one you're trying to use as your alibi.
No, the horrible.
I don't know whether it was on a podcast, but we used Anne Widdicombe as an example of something. Oh, it was when we were with the ethics of love potions. And it's Anne Widdicombe was the example.
I still stand by that. Right. Love potions are a violation of consent.
We don't want to get into it again because we're not gonna make progress on that. But perfectly ethical.
That's why the genie. Oh, I watched the weirdest video essay that talked about the genie being a dickhead from Aladdin, the cartoon.
Oh, I thought you meant generally.
Oh, no, right. Here's the thing, right? Okay, are you familiar with Aladdin, the Disney cartoon?
I mean, familiar with the story, not the cartoon. No,
oh, okay. It's one of my favourites growing up. I was like the right Disney age for it when it was out.
I know Jasmine is hot.
She is beautiful. I mean, yeah. It can't be a coincidence that all the e-girls and everything still dress up as her now. Like it's locking in to some childhood like awakening. Do you know what I mean? She might have been one of my first crushes, I think.
Oh, you don't even want to. I'll show you my first cartoon crush when I was like.
It's a spider, isn't it?
No, it's what.
Oh, I think actually, I don't like admitting this because it's a bit about. I think it was like Yogi Bear's girlfriend might have been my first crush.
Yeah. Things
well, like, apparently, Jasmine, the character from the Disney, was inspired by Audrey Hepburn and Jennifer Connelly.
Okay, I mean
Audrey Hepburn is.
She's a very attractive woman. I don't see it.
Okay, I mean, here's the earliest crush that I remember. This was from a cartoon called Battle of the Planets, which Hamish.
Oh God,
remember.
Yeah.
Battle of the Planets
for sure.
Oh, you've done it. Yeah, you've shown us this before. Yeah.
Well, your crush was that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's some Freudian shit going on there. That is.
I still get it. Like that is hot.
See, when you said Battle of the Planets, I was expecting one of the sort of human characters.
the one everybody else my friend likes. I like the because there was a human that talked. So that was the main enemy, but then there was a human that was also kind of the main enemy that would talk to that thing. And they were. I also had a bit of crush on this because they were sexually ambiguous as well. This character.
Yeah, that's got a real glam rock look.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but it was completely sexually ambiguous, and I think I enjoyed that as a child. And
At first, I thought you said Battle Beyond the Stars, but then I realized you said Battle of the Planets, the cartoon. Yeah,
did you watch Battle of the Planets as a kid, Hamish?
It was one of those ones that came across my radar, so I didn't religiously watch it.
It was originally a Japanese one, but they didn't like translate it. They just made their own stuff up.
Yeah.
Which, by all accounts, they made a better version than the original.
Yeah. But anyway, right. Just because people at home will be interested in this, even if you're not, right? So basically, played by Robin Williams.
I don't know if that was
No. You just might not. If you haven't seen Aladdin, this is going to go.
Let's just leave the call, Hamish. Let him talk to him.
we did. So, okay. And that's how I ended up assassinating President Lincoln. So basically, right, Aladdin goes in the cave, genie gives him three wishes, right? First wish wasn't to get out of the cave, he tricked the genie that time. However, I think his first proper wish was to be made a prince. However, the genie does not actually grant that. He grants him the appearance of being a prince. He grants him a procession, an elephant, all that kind of thing. So he completely welches out on that wish. However, at the end of the film...
Well, no, he's not. He's not necessarily welching. I mean, that is a thesis on the ontology of being a prince. Like, is being a prince more than just?
Well, yeah, you need a land.
Being a prince is just.
You need land.
It's just.
It's a position.
I mean, there are princes.
You're only a prince if other people let you be.
Yeah. I think the trappings make the prince. Really.
Well.
Anyway, sorry.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. You might have just. So towards the end of the film, during the villain climax, Jafar, the bad guy, asks to rule on high as Sultan as his wish. He is then granted that wish completely in its entirety.
Okay, that does feel like a bit of a swiss for Aladdin then, yeah.
Yeah. He said, make me a prince. But he was not a prince. And throughout the film, he talks about how he's not really a prince, despite the fact that he's got a genie's wish, made him a prince. So not actually a prince. It is canonically true that he is not a real prince despite wishing to be a prince. So the genie fucking screwed him out of that.
He still owed one wish. Did he? I know this is very trite, but did he try the Infinity Wishes wish?
That was ruled out at the beginning.
Because you would, right? Like, I know it's facile to say it, but like in the situation where a genie is offering you wishes, you're gonna try, right?
That's the first, but they lock that in from the beginning. They're like, no. The three rules are: can't kill anyone, can't bring anyone back from the dead. Oh no, hang on a minute. Oh yeah, there's four, right? For some reason, no one can count in this film, right? Can't kill anyone, can't bring anyone back from the dead, can't make anyone fall in love with you, can't wish for more wishes. Apparently, that's three. Don't entirely know why.
they combined the dead, not dead.
They can't kill anyone. Like, how butterfly effect are we getting with that?
Yeah, that's the thing.
If you're changing something substantial, something will change such that at some point in the future...
The butterfly doesn't matter. You're just not allowed to ask the genie to go out and kill someone.
Immediately.
Okay. Yeah, it's a legal thing.
Have you guys watched the TED TV show yet?
The what?
Yes, of course.
TED.
Yeah.
They do Aladdin. So they have the Aladdin episode.
Yeah, they do the Aladdin episode. They get a carpet.
They use the car as a magic carpet.
Yeah, yeah.
It has a date. Episode 6, I think.
Do you know, actually?
And Tim Russ Tuvok is the doctor in the ER.
It's amazing. It's one of the best.
Is it Tuvok? Is it Tuvok?
I'm just so gutted that they're not doing a season 3.
I've not seen season 2 yet. Is it out?
Oh, my God. Yeah, season 2 is out. It's ready. It's been out for ages.
Is it?
Have I not told you? Have we? Yeah, and it's great. It's 10 out of 10. Every bit as good as the first.
Really? Oh wow!
It's good. Yeah, love it. It had one joke in it that I've never heard Rosie laugh so much in her life. Like, it killed her. Like, it was just like like every now and then she'll just look it up on her phone. just.
Just show me that. I do that for is Arrested Development. There's jokes in Arrested Development where I just go and look up that joke and it's like 5 seconds and I'm like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
How did I not know series 2 was
there? Oh, wow. We know what you're doing for the rest of the day.
Yep. Wank. I'm trying to see if there's a full
torrent. But yeah, that'll be about there, yeah.
I can see episodes, but not...
Oh, the one thing that I keep going back and looking to, and I might make it my ringtone.
What's the one Rosie loved, first of all?
Oh, the joke.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to spoil it for Hamish at this point. Okay.
I'll risk it.
Okay, all right. So basically, okay, I don't know, like a delivery. Right, so they're playing Dungeons & Dragons, they're sitting around, and the DM says, okay, so, one of you, you're the thief. And then Ted goes, oh, like Dildo Baggins. And then the DM goes, oh no, Bilbo. And then Ted goes, his name was Dildo Bilbo? The delivery.
There's no delivery of that joke that makes it funny.
It's fucking amazing. the thing that I keep going back and looking at now is that someone put lyrics to the Grandstand theme tune.
And
the old... Was it with Des Lynam or something?
Yeah.
Oh god, yeah! Like, they proper got a sports nerd for that show, didn't they?
The Grandstand theme tune was, for me, is like, it triggers sadness because it meant that my dad, because there was one TV in the house back then.
Yeah,
my dad was going to be watching this boring fucking numbers show for the next 5 fucking hours.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, the Grandstand theme, but with words. to me, it was weirdly energetic for the show that it was. Like,
it's so wrong. It's so wrong for. Carry on, because I'm going to need to.
Okay, I'm going to put. Hang on a minute. Can you just put YouTube links now without everything dying?
So, cricket. The old cricket theme tune is the most.
Oh yeah.
Exciting. Yeah, I can't remember exactly, but like, it was the most upbeat, exciting, like, party music for like cricket.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Which has got to be the most boring sport on the planet.
No, baseball is cricket, but more boring. They decided to make it more
football,
boring.
I say this as somebody who's quite got into the World Cup this year, but like, football is the most boring sport.
It's awful.
I'd rather watch cricket than football.
Can't believe England won again.
Wow. I know, it's so funny.
I know, it was.
Did you see the thing I put in chat? Because I think I mean, you're English. You're both not English, aren't you? But
exactly. Yeah.
Not even like, once. This,
so I guess in the 2000s, I got into this, like, anyone but England, like, fuck England, colonialism, arrogance, mm-hmm. this idea that we're still an empire. I just find it hard to support England. I just like to see them beaten. And that stuck with me. I still feel that. But an argument that, like, that is another thing that sort of, because it is a position that, leftists often adopt. But it alienates people that we really shouldn't be alienating, and it seeds the ground of, you know, patriotism and that kind of thing, celebrating your nation to the right. I think I think there's validity to that. I don't think it's a particularly healthy thing to do, but I am stuck in that. I
was thinking about this conversation that you had on the buses a lot. Actually, this was going to be one of the things I was going to bring up today, because I think the thing is, okay. So I think there's a lot going on with this idea.
I can just say,
right?
This is very brief, just to qualify my thing slightly. Mm. I do think there's a specific obnoxiousness to England football fans that you don't find in maybe you do in some, but isn't so common in other nations.
Okay,
yeah, there's a
specific type of, and there's a lot of football fans up in the depot. So I always keep my head down when it's football talk because with conservatism, right? Conservatives love stories, don't they? They love a little story, right? They use it for like biblical stories. They use like, you know, sports, nationalism, like all of these things. They develop or envelop their ideology to like little stories, you know.
I think humans like stories, and right are very good at keying into that, and the left aren't. Yeah.
Yes. But the trouble is, as well, is that I think the left are a part of the left, I'm just going to say the left, have a visceral aversion to the bullshit.
Lying. Mm, yeah, to lying. Yeah.
And I think
even
that,
when it's lying for a good reason.
To the point where they question metaphor.
Yeah, but nationalism itself, well, okay, so again, there's more layers to this, because it's like, what is nationalism, right? So in Wales, Welsh nationalism tends to be left-wing, and am I right in thinking it's similar in Scotland, where you think nationalism, it tends to lean more left than right? Sometimes it can be a bit militant.
In
both countries, the Tory right would be unionists, right?
That's so it. So it's a different, it's two different types of nationalism. So the union nationalism, which is...
I need to clarify for like America. Unionist in that sense doesn't mean somebody who supports unions. It means somebody who wants those countries to remain part of the United Kingdom.
United Kingdom.
They want England to continue to be the boss.
And so Welsh nationalism, whilst I still think it carries the same level of bullshit as nationalism, it's bullshit on our side. Which is, I'm going to be straight up, easier to tolerate. Sorry, but it is. Like, when it's just, you know, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it washes over me a little bit easier.
It's left.
But the trouble is, with union nationalism, if you call it nationalism, but we'll just call it nationalism here, there's also you can't get away from the imperialism and the slavery and colonialism.
You mentioned narrative. That is the, what's the word, like that is the narrative that contains that notion.
Yeah.
Right? So ours is still a great imperial power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the George Cross, for example, you know, like the George Cross is, to me, there's a distinction between the George Cross and the Union flag. But also the George Cross and the people that get the George Cross painted on their chest and stuff also carry with it connotations that are a bit,
I think that's a relatively recent thing. And
that's
it's
a football
shame.
Thing, but well,
because it's a far more the Union Jack is an unattractive flag, and the George Cross is quite a nice flag. I think there's a problem in using the Union Jack in that it represents Britishness, which Britishness is like a meta identity. It's not nobody. I don't think. I know some people will claim it as their identity. I don't think you can feel British because I don't think it means anything.
Okay, well this is where the Welsh thing comes into me, because a lot
drinking
of people
drinking tea.
Yeah.
Well, that's you think English more. I know it's not.
Yeah.
You know.
But
English.
Also, there's many many Welsh people that wouldn't consider me Welsh. I live too close to England. I have a predominantly English accent. So I don't like. So I specifically feel that nationalism is a bit bullshit, because it's just an in-group out-group, where in often cases I feel an out-group in both of those camps.
I think things like nationalism, this came up in a thing I was listening to recently. It was a podcast discussing do we still hate wokeness, essentially, from the left. And they made the point that at its inception, the Pride flag, the idea behind it was it's a rainbow, therefore it contains, it symbolically represents a rainbow, therefore it contains all colors, therefore it represents anybody. Anybody who feels they belong to this is represented by it. And then later, in like Woke 2.0 or whatever, they made this, the colors mean specific, so it's universal at that point. They made the colors mean specific things. So it's, I mean,
that was decades ago. That was before you were,
That's no, no, no,
no, no, no, quite recently.
No, like, because green, is green still on there? Like, there was a bit of politics about what colors are actually on the specific rainbow.
And this there was folk stuff, but it's definitely become more of a solidified thing, because then they started adding, oh, we need a color to represent trans people. We need a color to represent intersex people. We need a color to represent black gay people. We need a color to represent
black people. And the whole point, if it was a rainbow and it was just, that was everybody,
It's universal. It's universal and inclusive. And therefore, inherently inclusive. And then eventually, when if you keep adding these colors, the only people who are not going to be represented by that flag are white straight men. You know, if we're completely honest about it, it will be white straight men who are the only people not represented by that flag, which makes it...
Will it be women?
Not, I think women, even white women, gay women, queer women will be included, I think. So that it takes it from a universal thing, which is inherently... And I think that's how... if nationalism... If we have a left nationalism, it needs to be of that character. It needs to be a universalizing... Like, if you're a refugee or an immigrant who's literally just arrived at Dover... then to the extent that you want to be, you are as British as I am and have as much ownership over that heritage. And
Scotland tends to be quite like that. I mean,
I like that thing you posted with the black people in kilts, that like some right wing were posted. It's like, this is what's going to happen. And Scottish people were like, cool.
Cool.
That's what it should be. But in terms of a nationalism that I feel in myself, I do. There's a little bit of attachment to the positive aspects of what I see as our national character, which honestly is largely shared between the nations. Silly things, you know, like the drinking tea, that's fun. And historically, we've not been amazing, but historically, we've at least at times been a country that sort of welcomed dissidents and people that other countries were kicking out a little bit. I think we should lean on that, at least as a narrative on the left. And I feel an attachment to the land and to the people. And when I say the people, that is, when I lived in Stoke, and I lived in a predominantly like Muslim street. And I enjoyed that. I enjoy a variety of cultures and people.
But actually, interestingly enough, having like hung out with a fair amount of Muslim people recently, because obviously I spend a lot of time in Gloucester, one thing that I've kind of noticed is that as like a vegan who doesn't drink and quit smoking everything, I align a lot more with Muslim people my age than a lot of like ladsy British people, we think about what we eat, where it comes from a little bit more. We think about our bodies and, looking after ourselves a little bit, but not in a gym bro kind of way, in a, a more sort of street kind of way.
Do you feel that same sense of connection to the land? Not, and again, I don't mean this in a, because I think as far back as I know, one side of my family has lived in this area. And like, I look back, I look at the hills and the burial mounds on the hills, and it's like people have lived here for tens of thousands of years. There's a continuity to this, but that's not, I don't mean that as a, like, if somebody's just moved here today from Bangladesh, they have as much ownership over that as well. Because humans have lived here for tens of thousands of years. I mentioned that, my family is here, but that's a detail, not a requirement.
I totally feel that connection to the local area. Yes. I couldn't even give you a boundary. If maybe the boundary fades a little bit, maybe it's a gradient.
But sometimes, when you get that very specific grey sky that I think is fairly uniquely Northern European, and I just, that misting drizzle, and it's almost like you can't really, like, and I just think, like, there's something beautiful about that,
and moss.
And humans have looked up at skies like that here for tens of thousands of years, and that's like, that makes me feel a connection.
And I feel that too, because especially with the bit where you, because the thing is, one of the things particularly in the forest is that it can feel a little bit like too much. I'm trying to avoid using the word like inbred, but too local for local
yeah,
people.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah. Sometimes people get a bit, they get
parochial.
Parochial, yeah, maybe. Yeah, interesting. They get a bit like, we don't like outsiders coming in. Outsiders, not that sometimes they're people of color, sometimes it's just people from like further afield, like it's just a broader kind of.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that connects to the thing I was saying about watching Yellowstone, you know, outsiders coming in. And
for me, I want, like, personally, I want the outsiders to come in.
You want outsiders to come in because they want to be part of that. You don't want outsiders to come in because they want to build a hotel and make this place a theme park.
Yeah, that's the problem with Scotland, is a lot of places are basically, and they're where the unionists are as well, because it's people that have sold, you know, a one-bedroom flat in London and bought a castle in, you know, northeast Scotland, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. And then they don't want to come and be in the Scottish community. They want to be a laird. They want to be, you know, they think they're better. They've bought a big place because they can afford it. And they think that, you know, because they've got a bit of land or whatever, they're somehow, you know, it's that sort of, imperialism, I suppose, kind.
Yeah, I very, very exactly that. When I was at uni, a vague friend of ours, very wealthy parents, they bought a castle in Wales and they'd gone on a holiday. So he invited us to this castle in Wales for a weekend to party. And we partied in this castle and it was amazing. Like, it was a genuine proper castle. Amazing experience, like living in a castle. But
yeah, some of them are like that in Scotland. They've been converted to be flats and stuff.
Yeah. You know. But on one Sunday, we went to like the local village next to the castle, and it was palpable how much they hated us.
Oh, wow.
It made something click. It's like, I get why you fucking hate me. Like, what I am doing to what belongs to you. And, you know, making it something else, making it to something else.
If people are living in and, being part of the community, or like living as people, normal people, not
exactly, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Then, they don't do this type of people I'm talking about. They go to Wales as well. They'll go, you know, they'll go to Scotland. They'll have, in a way, they'll be able to upgrade, you know, because the property prices, you know, false bollocks. But anyway, they think they're just planting themselves in there, and everybody will go, oh, they're great because they've got a big house and. You know,
Do you remember Monarch of the Glen TV show?
I didn't really watch it, but I'm aware of it.
I'm aware that it exists,
it was just one of those horrible Sunday evening TV shows that my parents watched, and I was uncomfortable watching it because it felt like, you know, an English person coming in, buying the castle, and it's like, I am the laird now, you know, like, I don't know whether that was the actual plot, but it had that feel, you know, like cosplaying being a fucking... feudal lord, essentially.
That's exactly it. They think
sometimes
that's why we've got the union of the crowns.
It's one of the things about Welsh castle, like Welsh castles were not built by the Welsh. They were built by the Normans, who were invading Wales and using the castles to dominate the Welsh.
So should make flats out of them, I guess. Take them back. But sometimes, like, a lot of local folks around here are a bit like, oh, we don't want other people moving in and clogging up our roads and stuff like that. And there is a bit of a hickishness of local things for local.
Here it's definitely you don't want middle class people coming in who are just going to like gentrify, the commuter type who are they want to live here because they want to live in the countryside. They don't want to take part in the community. Mm. But then when, you know, the Asian couple who came in to run the spa shop, they are the heart of the community and they're treated as such. You know, like it's not a racialized thing. I'm sure the racism exists. But it's predominantly, people who want, like Hamish said it better, like people who want to be genuine humans in the community versus, you know.
Well, that's what's happened to this area where I live. Historically, there was a lot of little villages around here, like the one I'm in. The place I'm in has got a different name from like half a mile down the road. But of course, everyone just calls it the one thing. And the problem is it became the commuter place for Bristol and Bath. And so all these housing estates popped up. And if you go anywhere here, it's like it looks like you're in a little village and suddenly 10 housing estates them all, you know?
I mean, that's the story of a lot of the country at the moment, isn't it? Like, I think the thing is the issues with that is that jobs have just centralised in bigger hubs now.
Yeah, because there's so many jobs that aren't real jobs. That's the problem. That's it's the all thing, to service... And also, to service money that doesn't exist. You know?
Why not? I mean, UBI, I mean, we've got like a well-managed UBI.
Excuse me, I've got to take Peanut out. I'll be right back. Hours,
Yeah, UBI. But also, the fact that so many companies seem to be squashed, like trying to get rid, like, we could do more working from home. Like, there's companies trying to, like, put the kibosh on that. For stupid reasons. I mean, Hamish is right. There are a lot of jobs that, like... I mean, the thing is, right, if you look at, like, corporate innovation, right, over the past, like, quite a while now, AI being the latest iteration of it, the aim is transparently to end up hiring fewer people, to do more, hire fewer people. You know, the self-service checkout tills, all this kind of stuff, self-driving cars... The push behind it all is humans no longer required. At some point, like, and this is why, right? If you look at like fascist leaning people, one of the talking points that's coming out now is the idea of women not being in the workplace anymore. And it's like, is that possibly the counter to that? Where if there aren't enough jobs and the number of jobs go down, well, maybe we should push the women out of the workplace and save us, you know.
Well, yes, but it's obviously naive because it's from the right. Like the Marxist, the correct, in my opinion, Marxist critique of that is that, like, whatever we're going to call it, homekeeping is simply just unpaid labor.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why the woke, I don't want to sound a particular way, but woke feminism is focusing on things other than that. Whereas, you know, the real issue is pay equity. Treatment at work and the norm. It's even like still, you know, my mum did all the housework and did all the cooking and also had a job, but you know, not the entire time, but at certain periods, just because that's the way it was. And it's not like that now, but it still leans a bit that way. I think the woman in the couple is more likely to take care of the housework and more likely to cook, I think, still. And it is just, especially where raising children is involved, it is unpaid labor, and that labor is to the benefit of corporations.
Yeah,
I forgot what the point was.
Yeah. I mean, this is the. I mean, the economic argument for all of these things, including feminism, sort of underpins like all of the social stuff as well. Because like when you look at things like where basically. Our population, our replacement rate for population in Wales is crashing quite heavily right now. And you could argue, there have been some that have argued, that because women now have, you know, a place in the workplace, you know, education, contraception, all of these choices available to them, they don't have to sell themselves into an unhappy marriage, be a housekeeper, they have genuine... or certainly nearer genuine independence, and as such have decided to live life a little bit more on their own terms, whereas decades and longer ago, getting married and starting a family was a survival mechanism.
We have talked about this before, and my theory is it's a specific combination of financial comfort and financial precarity that capitalism creates in the middle class that discourages people from having children. I'm sure that's a factor as well, what you said, but...
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, my suspicion is that there's a million factors.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's too much to draw broad strokes, which, you know... but also, I don't entirely know what it means and if it's a bad thing either. Like the right.
It's a bad thing. Assuming we don't do anything to increase productivity, which we haven't for the last 50 years or something, 30 years at least. It's a bad thing if we want to maintain a standard of living.
I don't think those are unsolvable problems. By any stretch of the imagination.
Well, no. I think there are unsolvable problems under capitalism, because capitalism refuses to do what would be good for capitalism, which is to do the things that historically have worked really well for capitalism, which is investment in unguided research in particular.
Yeah, but they just want to keep taking.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Capitalism, in any circumstance, eventually eats itself. Because what happens when Elon Musk has all of the money... The money ceases to be worth anything because
it's what I actually unfollowed somebody on Freddie the other day. It's an economist that I quite like the stuff he posts, but he did a post that was like, when leftists talk about capitalism, they should really talk about or differentiate the types of capitalism, because some capitalisms are better than others, and there may be some forms of capitalism that we should aim for, and it's just ignorant of that thing even the best forms of capitalism we've had, like maybe the Nordic countries. Like they get worse over time, because that is the nature of capitalism. It cannot do anything other than make things worse over time.
Mm.
Somebody can say Corbyn got elected and he pulls things back a bit, but then it will continue to march onward.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's centralization of wealth. That's the goal of capitalism.
Yeah.
But also in a more like rudimentary way of thinking about it, it's the thing is like if you center your entire society around capital, the people that are best at acquiring capital through whatever means, legit or illegitimate, will then the power will always gravitate towards them.
Well, worse than that, the power gravitates towards them, and because they think they're a good, smart person, they believe that's a meritocracy.
Mm. But being so good at making money,
they will advocate for the system and reinforce it because they believe it's meritocratic.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the big myth.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Trump thinks that he's an idiot who's just lucky and useful to a large different groups of people. He probably thinks he's the hero of his own story.
I think that is human nature. I think you've got to be extremely strong in a system that makes you particularly successful to not go, yeah, that's because I did things correctly. I'd probably be susceptible to that.
Vindication is the sweetest drug.
Yeah, clearly, like I worked hard. I'm smart. I think about things. I worked hard. I was innovative. So this society is successful. It rewarded me.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. But I mean, I think all of it comes. Not all of it. Some of it comes down to the fact that it's the conflation between being good at this one thing, making money, equals like intelligence. Because it's like
getting lucky and inheriting and
inheriting all that thing. But like, just
I mean, I think it's something that people get wrong in like historical fiction and TV shows and stuff, is like how like aristocrats back in the day believed that they were literally ordained by God to be in that position. Yeah. They had a duty, a responsibility, and a privilege of literally being chosen by God. And it's the same thing in capitalism. They believe not that they were chosen by God, but
also they try and reinforce this myth because, of course, wealthier people have a more expensive and higher standard of education. So they can present themselves as being more intelligent or more eloquently spoken or better with money
and then the things that are just forms of that class become read as, so I'm talking about like how a posh accent is read as intelligent. The forms become the thing.
Yeah, I get that. People sometimes think I'm smart. Obviously you're very good with computers, because I've presented that image. I've demonstrated
you're well spoken, well groomed. So obviously very smart.
I
mean, you are.
Well, I might have leaned into it a little bit.
Of course. Yeah, take advantage of it. Of course,
you got to take advantage of.
When I take advantage of the opposite. That people underestimate me because I look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, it's a matter. It's you got to play the hand you're dealt, right?
I
don't understand why it's not. Some things aren't more like spoken about on the left. Is it because it's all settled science or whatever? Like, why we should just ban private schools?
It's because we don't have a left. There is no left. There are leftists. There is no left.
But surely it's like, I mean,
the green, in terms of the mainstream, the, In terms of mainstream media, there is not a left. And in terms of mainstream politics, the Greens are the closest we get. And then they are, you know, social democratic at best.
I think they're quite broad. They're, you know, like they're quite a big.
In terms of policy.
Yeah.
And of course, you can only, you know.
Well, their policy is democratically decided, so you get the sort of the middle average, I guess, don't you?
Yeah.
This sort of.
I think the leadership leans it a bit lefter than it would be otherwise with the membership. I think
the current leadership. Yeah. Again, yeah.
I presume you're not even in Wales.
There isn't a left. There's no left media, you know, other than independent things online and stuff. At a national level, there's no left party. There's no left media. So who's going to be? I mean, the reason there's, you know, it's been engineered such that there's no left. It's not a coincidence. It's not.
It's not a coincidence by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, the thing is, this is why the news is a crock of shit, isn't it? Because it's just like it's rich people telling you what to think. It's just that.
Yes. Well, the other day I was in the car and I usually flick around to try and avoid adverts and news and stuff, but I caught a bit of the news and it was basically an announcement for Palantir telling us how great they were for the NHS, read by the news.
Oh, Christ. Well,
I think the most dangerous one right now, and this is Europe-wide, is we are being propagandized to accept the idea of a war with Russia and further to that, a forever war with Russia. That we Let's get off the politics a bit.
What else?
Because I was going to start on about something.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
You said you had several subjects. The monochrome was one of them. Did you?
Hang on a minute. Speaking of monochrome. Hang on a minute. I want to see if I can still get it. Yes, there we go. Right, this is kind of hilarious. It's a little bit political. What the fuck is the straight pride flag, and why is it this?
That looks fascist.
That's exactly what I was about to say. If it had a splash of red somewhere, it would be perfect for a fascist flag.
Why does that have
a black symbol that's going over your black fucking stripe?
And it looks like handcuffs. It's like, why don't they just put a ball and chain on it? You're doing time.
At least that would be honest.
What would be a better straight flag?
That's
just a plain vanilla flag.
A white flag, also known as the French flag. But sorry,
we're having a flag competition. Readers, submit your straight flags.
Your straight.
We'll show them next episode.
Oh God! It'd just
be a picture of Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, well, you know. Was there anything else?
I don't hate, like, she definitely is liked by the right, but I don't think she's done anything to sort of deserve it or court it. I think she's just a normal person.
She hasn't courted
it on purpose.
Just too
dim to realise.
Well, I think
I think she's dumb. I don't think she's, like, outstanding. I think she's just an average person who has found themselves, you know...
The niche. She found the niche.
Not particularly political. I don't think the Gene ad was a problem. I think it was a funny little pun. I don't think it was fascism or racist, or it was a silly little pun that was honestly, you know, a little bit amusing. I think it's fine. It's blown out of all proportion, but GSL seems fine. Like, I don't think she's a fascist, but she has become sort of.
No, I don't think so. But she's become the fascist poster girl.
Hang on a minute,
she looks like the trad wife that every fucking
she's very
but then that's what fascists do anyway.
She is absolutely lovely. Yeah. She is cracking. She's
not my type, but obviously very very beautiful. Yeah. She has a sort of Marilyn Monroe sort of like demure, like fake shy kind of thing. I don't know what the words are for it, but she has that thing going on. I think the downcast gaze, a little bit Diana Spencer as well.
Oh, there was okay.
Why do people think Diana Spencer was beautiful? I don't get that.
No, I don't. But she did have that. She had that, you know, the downcast gaze, which again, is very.
Diana Spencer. Who is Diana Spencer?
Princess
Di.
I always go Lady Diana. Is how
fucking
old. Oh, I found her attractive.
I found her attractive when I was really young, and now I sort of grew out of it.
That was probably more of just what Drew was saying about imagery and stuff rather than the actual looking
but
at
it. But also possibly because, you always, like, think, like, royal family members are not particularly attractive and she sort of stands out a little bit.
Oh, I've got a leftist politician who's hot.
Oh, okay.
Have you? Because I saw somebody the other day, and again, I saw a picture, and I thought, "Oh, she's quite attractive." Oh, and it turned out she was like a crooked cop. Okay. So there's the thumbnail of a video.
Okay, she's American. She's a full-on actual fucking Marxist. She's fucking awesome. Her name is
AOC's. AOC's very attractive.
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah, but like, she's yeah.
But, it's still standard
Sharma Savant, but it's spelled like that.
Oh, you're not giving us a picture, then?
Yeah. What a fucking blue balls.
You're talking about how she, you're talking about how she looks, and then you don't give us a picture. I mean, you know, I know that's not the most important thing about a politician, but...
yeah.
She looks like a librarian.
Yeah, in a hot way.
Yeah, no.
Oh, like, yeah, the second picture was much better. Her portrait sort of thing is a bit... sort of stayed, but yeah, she is very pretty. Yeah. It's like I was watching.
Can you put a nice photo in the chat just for the folks at home?
Well, I like this one. I tend to like stern expressions, but this one because this really goes librarian.
Oh yeah.
Mm. No, I was rewatching Andor.
Oh, excellent!
Yeah, there's that British actress that's in it. And she was in Doctor Who as well, and she is just absolutely amazing. I forgot her name again.
Was she the blonde lady?
She the one who was sort of like Asian. Went to. Like, she was very traumatized.
No, but she's lovely as well. She's sort of South American or something. Yeah.
Mm.
Ah, Varada Sethu, that's her. If you can find yourself a picture of Varada Sethu,
spelling. Thank you.
Her Wikipedia page doesn't have a picture.
Sorry, I just put Kim Yo Jong into the chat because she's my favourite.
Yeah.
She will.
Being like dictator, like blah. She her face too, a little bit. She's got a little bit of a skull face.
Yeah.
It's just like.
I like very that. Cold. It's like, yeah. Like she has a. Yeah. She has cheekbones that could cut glass, you know? Like,
yeah.
Have you worked with who Varada Sethu is yet?
Yes.
Yeah, very beautiful. Yeah. But I do, I keep, it's Kemi Badenoch. Like, she's really old. I wish she wasn't evil.
There's a lot of the evil ones, though, that are kind of hot.
The thing is, I like her aesthetically, but also, I like. Ignoring the words she's saying, I like how she talks as well. She talks quite nicely, and she talks like she's got a manner that I would like in a prime minister. Like she's, you know, serious without being over serious, takes herself seriously without, you know, blah blah.
She
blah,
told Liz Truss to shut up for a bit, which was fucking amazing. Yeah,
I like the attitude. Yeah, I just wish she wasn't a cunt.
because
she doesn't have that stern authoritarian. Like right wing thing going on, so it doesn't. Her cuntishness doesn't add to the attraction. this is so pathological.
Wow. I was going to say, a psychiatrist would have a field day with us.
Yeah.
It's not even like this might be oversharing. Like I'm not sexually submissive. Like it's not about that. It's not about like I want it's not to tread on me and shit. It's not that.
It's about the attractiveness, not the sexuality. Yeah.
Yeah, no,
but there's something about the stern authoritarian.
I mean, obviously they go together a bit, but...
Yeah, but it's not about being... I don't want to be dominated or anything.
You put up of the Korean lady? It looks like a picture from, like, Coronation Street or something for some reason to me. I don't know why. I think it's the coats.
The coats, yeah. They wear a lot of coats up north, don't they?
And she's very pale as well, so she could be northern. You know? Yeah,
it's very Manchester.
This is a nice one of Kemi Badenoch. Is it?
Yeah.
Again, it's you've got your there's that thing about separating the art from the artist and all that, you know.
I'm attracted to like assertive women, but not in a submissive way.
Yeah, not in a it's like a strong equal, not a.
Or do I find the opposite a turn off? I don't know. It might be relative. I
find simpering submissiveness very, very, very off-putting. So
me too. Yeah. I find it a bit. Yeah.
You want somebody who's going to stand up to you, argue back,
yeah,
tell you you're a dickhead. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Everybody always tells me that.
Yeah, I think there's something, it's just like, you know, it's just...
Also, this might sound odd, and this isn't a blanket thing, but like when I'm looking at a photo of somebody and, you know, for the purposes of, oh, they attract, like, I don't like smiling. Smiling is a name. Like, some people have very beautiful smiles, and when a genuine smile comes out on their face because they've been amused, or like, yeah, gorgeous. But just like a photo
smiling
smile.
Smiling for a photo,
or,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather have like a serious or even a stern expression is more attractive to me.
I don't know. Depends on the person.
People who smile too much, it makes me distrust them.
I was going to say it would make me suspicious, yeah. Mm.
I don't know. I think I'm more subjective on that one.
I would fucking hate that. Like, you know, the American style of customer service.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, yeah, definitely.
Because that is simpering submissiveness. That, like, I would pay to go to like a cafe or restaurant over where the service is rude.
I don't mind them being friendly and helpful, but in a British way, not in the American way, you know.
I like friendliness if it's genuine human, like that person. Not yeah, there's a job. They genuinely want to talk to me and ask what. Yeah, like
yeah,
that,
there is.
Like,
there's a woman that like that works at the pub, the restaurant that me and Dad go to quite most days. And yeah, she's you know, she'll call people sort of sort of epithets and friendliness and everything. But it's you know, she doesn't just flick a switch as she turns away from the bar or anything. You know, she is kind of
you can feel the
genuine warmth.
I don't know.
If you're not doing that, if you're not a genuine person, then I want rudeness. I want to feel like I'm being judged. Like I say what I want, and they like Just do that, like proper English.
I don't know. The place I go for my lunch regularly, they're starting to be a bit more conversational because I'm a bit more regular than that. I don't like it.
You don't like even when it's genuine.
No, because the thing is, it's like
leave me alone. I just want to eat, kind of.
Or it's like they start guessing my order. It's like,
right, okay.
And it's like no, I just. Decaf today, is it, Chris? I don't want decaf. Like, can I tell you the thing I want instead of you guessing it?
That's the thing you generally don't like. Actually, you don't like people, being presumptuous about what you think or want. Or I think I've noticed that.
And then I don't know. Like, they're great. They're great with like they're very friendly with the old people, regulars that come in and stuff like that, and that's lovely to see from outside because it's like I've got 40 minutes. I need to get a full breakfast in me. Like I got money.
I used to be more of a morning person, but now when I wake up, if somebody talks to me during the first 20 minutes, it's like, can you just? My dad used to be like that. Can you just shut up and leave me alone for 20 minutes, please? Don't ask me any questions. Don't ask me how I'm doing. Like, let me wake up.
Yeah. I don't know how long we're going on for, but I do have one more thing that I did kind of want to talk to you about.
I was going to say, you had an agenda, from what we understood.
Well, we're basically through it now. Like, but I did want to talk. I wanted to have this as a conversation in one capacity or another, but might as well do it on Freebooters because it's why not? Which is a little bit like when we do our Bash programming, right? Because... Mm-hmm. One of the issues that we've had with both Blop and Plock. So Blop is your project that does basically a blog. It takes Markdown files, puts them into a blog, takes extra pages for the website, fills out a website for you. Great. I use it for my website. Love it. Does anyone else still use it? Because Wing used it at one point, but then he's moved on to...
I don't know if Wing did it. Subderm uses it, and I've seen like a couple of others but I don't know whether they still do. Yeah, I don't know.
Everyone
uses Block, you know.
But yeah, Block's really good. And Plock, which, as far as I'm aware, I only use.
It's really good. It's better than Blop. It's really fucking good. I really like it.
It makes a single-page website out of... like a bunch of MP3 files, only MP3 files. At one point, I tried to make it do Opus files and M4A files and stuff like that. But because the metadata format is different for basically so many different file types, I thought either I'm going to have a fucking if-then statement a mile long, or I'm just going to be like, you know what? Just MP3s.
Yeah.
So I had to, I mean, pick a lane.
They don't have the patent issue anymore.
Yeah. If it was
99% of people use. So it's...
Yeah, exactly. And also, yeah, the trouble is, it's like I can try Opus, but then Opus will work fine on a phone, but then on the TV, it will need to like encode on the fly, or some things don't. You know, all these devices, and they're not. It's not through any technical limitations or licensing limitations. It's just the TV just hasn't. Like the software on the TV, Jellyfin or whatever, just doesn't do Opus, but it does do OGG. And the Samsung TV does OGG, but not Opus.
Every device will do MP3 and one other one.
Yes.
So every device will do MP3.
Yeah. Or FLAC, but FLAC is just too big.
Yeah.
So I just go, all right, MP3 it is. It's trivial to FFmpeg something into an MP3 anyway. So I think I've got a few scripts at home that just take a folder of non MP3 files and turn them into MP3 files, keeping the metadata, keeping the image front and all that kind of stuff. So it's MP3, and then you can do a little templating to like how lay out how you want the scripts to look. So if you look on the Space Virgin's like audio feed, which is freebooters.uk/spaceversions, you'll see that there's a little player for each one. But then if you just go to the freebooters, it's just a list of links to MP3 files. So...
Oh, yeah.
And then there's Dargoth Hour, which is the same. Oh, no, hang on a minute. Dargoth Hour. I need to style sheet that out properly. There's a little templating, and then you can... And then there's a template for the whole page, so what's at the top, what's at the bottom in one file, and you put placeholders in. However, I also have there's a third project which I've called Agriblop that I work on, and you can see Agriblop in action by going to the freebooters.uk website and clicking on blog, and you'll see a long feed of I think it's my websites, Drew's websites, Hamish websites, Wing's websites, Subdom's website. One feed of all of the posts from those websites, like a blog, right? Like it's a blog. You click on one, it'll take you straight into the website. And I really quite like this. Doesn't even open into a new tab or window because you've got to use the back button because browsers have back buttons. On a phone, it's even easier. They have a back button just right at the bottom. Beep. However, one thing I've struggled with a little bit is with the templating, right? Like, with the old version of Plock, it used to be the case that we'd have the top matter, the bottom matter, and then the template would be hard-coded into the script, which was a really simple way of doing things. But is it weird to have the template as two files, a top and a bottom? Or
no, that's what I do.
Yeah, because having a little placeholder in the middle, interestingly enough, makes it infinitely more complicated.
Mm.
Because you're replacing like a little placeholder text with all of the middle matter, either Plock, it's a list of podcasts, or in Agriblop, it's that feed. And I've also learned that doing a long list of long feeds through server memory causes problems. So I do it through temp files. So it makes a file, it does all the work in the file, and then puts the files together. Sorry if I'm losing anyone here.
You mean rather than running it as on the remote system as one big job?
Yeah, through memory.
Yeah.
It's basically, it's using memory, using hard disk, which to use when. Because Drew said the other day, you don't ever try and do anything on the hard disk or with temp files.
Unless I have to technical. I mean, I said this to you in chat, but like even very big RSS feeds shouldn't be big enough to make memory a problem.
Now, I didn't.
There must be something going on there.
Well, there must be something that I'm doing with the process that is expanding it to. I don't know if it's expanding it to fill the memory or whether or not it just crashes out. But it stops at a certain point and then just goes home.
Okay, so it's not. Yeah, because
can you have two terminals open and have a look at like top or something while it's running?
Yeah, because there are limits in shells of like how many like inodes they can create. I mean, it won't be that.
It might be something like that instead. Like, for some reason,
how many levels deep a loop can go, stuff. Yeah, it might be hitting one of those.
Yes, it could easily be something like that. It might not just straight up be memory. Mm. But doing it in text, doing it in a... using temp files, and temp files are trivial to do in a bash script because you just do a variable equals and then $brackets mk temp and then you do trap and then you list all the files that you want to make sure are deleted under any conditions at the end of the at the end of the script.
It's definitely not memory, because I think most if not all Linux systems your temp is in memory anyway.
Yeah,
is that
yeah, temp will be
is slash
temp talking about
root
slash temp, yeah, or slash tmp,
is it? I'm just gonna double Google that. Oh, it says yes. The temp file can be mounted in memory using a file system called tempfs.
Mainstream. It definitely is on Arch.
Hang on a minute, it says here on
if you do duf on your system you'll see it in there.
Duf
slash tmp size blah 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 type at the end tmpfs
is it not slash tmp use
it's the very last one on the list on mine.
Yes, last one on my list, but for some reason I'm only using 5 megabytes of it. Oh, that's temp, that's not memory. That's but temp is slash temp is memory.
That just means it's something other than memory usage, which is a relief because that was weird.
That's just temporary files, so it's got 5.1 megabytes of whatever temporary files is just being used on my system, probably Discord really.
No, temp
correct me if I'm wrong.
It's kind of a more of, I'm not as good as you two with that stuff, so I'm just gonna shut up.
I'm just looking at it now. Jellyfin is a bunch. Systemd is a bunch. .NET diagnostic socket. Oh, that's Jellyfin. That seems to be expected. So, you know, everything there is generally recognizable. Oh, NordVPN is there with something. So that's okay. Oh, I do like the color coding actually makes it a lot easier to read all this stuff with LSD.
Your fancy colors.
Wow. Yeah. I do quite enjoy LSD. I'm on team LSD now. LSD, DUF. It's good stuff. Anyway, we've had a few problems with templating systems, because if you're using something like sed, the ampersand is a very awkward character, but is used a lot in both.
Yeah. Basically, any character that has a special meaning for sed needs to be sanitized in your input, which includes ampersand. Yeah,
but then sometimes it's not always as easy as that, because you end up with ampersands in the HTML output anyway.
Yeah, I mean that little snippet that I was using, that's fixed it for me, so I'm happy with that. Okay, but I think it is an awkwardness for sure.
Do I still use? So all my code is on the website. So if you ever want to look up anything that I'm talking about, it's literally there. You can just like pull up the code on my scripts, which I actually use to reference myself. I use my own website if I'm like, oh, how do I do this? Because sometimes I'll switch to a whole bunch of different methods before settling on one, and then I'll forget which one I settled on. To render the HTML and RSS items, I don't use sed anymore. I use straight in bash, regex, just slash replace.
Bash has got a substitution syntax, which is pretty good.
Using that was what caused Agriblop, the long RSS feeds, to crap out.
Oh, okay.
So what did I use in Agriblop? But everywhere I looked at forum posts, etc., kept saying, I don't know, there was like a contradiction. It was like, yeah, you shouldn't come up against any limits, but at the same time, really big arrays of information will be too much.
Yeah, yeah.
So
again, this is RSS being RSS, because it's so nested and dirty as a format.
so Agrabah.
And also, there's no fucking actual standard, which frustrates the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah, no, I do use sed, which works now, because how do I escape it? And I use orc, which, oh my god, it's so hard. I don't understand orc. I need to watch your video again, AW. Because apparently, is orc something I should be thinking about using more of in these kind of scripts?
Well, you can do it a shit ton with orc. Orc is a Turing complete language. It's not just a command. But the most common thing to do with it is to take fields out of something and maybe do something with them.
Okay. Well, that definitely sounds like.
I was doing a thing the other day, for example, where I was taking some tabular data. All I wanted was the first two columns.
Yeah.
And I wanted to multiply the second column by 1,000. And orc is perfect for that.
Yeah. But no, for my rendering, I did a little rendering function. And then I pipe it through that function. Where is it? It's like it's the escape function, right? Where did I put the escape function? Oh, escape. Yeah, right at the top. And it escapes. Oh my god, I've got to fucking read this regex. So I think it escapes. Ampersand. Hang on a minute. But inside the sed command, I've got a square bracket, a left square bracket. But am I using that to escape the ampersand? Or is that
I'm trying to work out what the fuck was this?
Oh no, the ampersand. No, so I've got the square brackets, and then I've got ampersand pipe. \\, close the square brackets, and then \\, ampersand \g. I've lost myself.
You're kind of at the point where you're sort of live coding without the coding.
Yeah.
Should this maybe be not a podcasting?
Okay, all right. Sorry about that. Yes. Okay. All of that around, right? Sorry, right.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't, like, I mean, at the moment, Plock is basically feature complete.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me that wants to simplify the code so that we don't have to fuck around with sed. But at the same time, does it achieve anything? No.
Well, so, I mean, sed is great. So I think sed is, the right tool is probably too strong for that, but it is a suitable tool for that. And it, yeah. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find something that does it better. I've thought about simplifying Blop. Blop is a fucking mess. I should really break things out into functions, but it's hard. It's when it works and it's like used by 5 people, it's hard to be asked, you know, because it makes no difference ultimately.
Also, you strongly put you do long lines of code and sed functions.
Unless it's something like key bindings or something like that. I don't like breaking, like adding artificial line breaks into a script. Yeah, that throws me.
I don't know why that throws you.
It's awkward if you want to paste it into a terminal to work on the command. It's awkward. Yeah, I think most people it's the opposite, but for me that makes it harder to follow.
Interesting. I'm not the biggest indenter. I'm still stuck on spaces because of alignment. Like I can't.
I don't feel strongly on tabs versus spaces.
What about you, Hamish? Do you tabs or spaces?
Well, I'll use the tab, but I'll have the editor set to make those spaces.
So spaces then. Yeah, no, I do tabs to spaces.
So you're a liberal democrat.
Am I?
That spaces with more words though, is, you know.
Yeah,
okay, there's things where I hate, like if I'm doing CSS, I hate spaces. Because because it's just more work with CSS. It's just more fucking key presses, more bother if I want to delete them. It's just for that because all you're doing is levels of indentation there. You're not aligning things. You're not doing anything other than that. It's not semantic. It's just for convenience.
Well, so you don't just tab. You don't have to indent CSS at all. I've done.
Visually, it's nice, and tabs is the easiest way to do that. Why bother hitting space?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a U on CSS before, where I've just done CSS in long lines.
Yeah. I mean, I do inline. I know inline CSS is frowned upon now. I don't really.
Yeah, for some reason.
Is it? Why is it?
I suppose it's separation.
I think it's probably one of those like everything's got to be scalable and maintainable by a team of 50 working on it.
So yeah, yeah. If you think about big companies, yeah.
Not recommended. Okay.
For my personal website that 3 people read, not really an issue.
Yeah, yeah, limits reduced, responsiveness, pseudo class styles. This is a lot of words for readability, really, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Or maintainability, I guess.
Maintainability, yeah, yeah. Scattered styles, centralization issues.
All right, anyway. Knock it on there, though, because my sister has just given me some leftover KFC. I want to go and eat that.
Excellent. All right. Okay. Ta-da!